Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody. We're here live tonight, and hopefully you're all doing good. It is a good night already. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that. All right. We're going to be praying for everyone. We're going to be ministering to you, praying over offerings tonight a lot. And so if you want to give tonight, you're welcome to do that. Go to my website, randychannel.com, and click on donate. And we would be happy to pray over that. We'll pray over y'all during the week, too. Whatever you need, we're here to be a blessing to you. Speak the government of God into your life. And, yeah, so get in there and get some of that. All right, welcome to the place. We're trying to get going here. Okay. All right. Welcome to the prophetic place tonight. And we're going to be sharing with you all kinds of things tonight and believing God for miraculous intervention into your life to some degree or the other. And so get ready for that. I mean, one word from God, intervention into your life. If you need some kind of word that can intervene, then it's possible right here. So, can get it lots of other places, I'm sure, but we definitely flow in that realm around here and believe God for miracles every day, all the time. And so, jump in there and see if you can get some fresh water on you tonight, fresh water of the Holy Spirit. And, okay. All right. The building fund is doing really good. I think we have, with everything added to it, around 20,000. I don't know exactly what it is. I get renewed every week, and I'm going to get it all. I'm trying to get it all together. So many things going on right now, but we are. I know we're into the 20,000. That's with all the money that comes, you know, in the building fund, and then the the match money, all that. And so it's looking pretty good. I think that's pretty good. And I think it's in the 20s. So we're going to be giving that specific information hopefully here real soon. We're working on our setting a whole different thing, a separate set of books for this. And so we're in the middle of working on that. And anyway, so I know it's somewhere around in there. 20,000, not bad. And I think it's it's more than 20, but it's in the 20s. So praise God. That's really great. we don't have any big corporations or big anything supporting us. If you're there supporting us, then it comes through you. The Lord uses you to do that. And so we've been very blessed, very, very blessed. So everybody can hear me okay, right? Everybody can hear me okay? Because I'm trying to make sure I'm on good. Get ready to take communion tonight. Get your communion cup out and get ready to take that tonight. And we are, as always, I'm going to believe God for the body and the blood of Jesus. As you guys know, I'm working on, that whole thing. I'm praying over one of the servings of communion. Bread and the juice, and I'm praying over it every day and believing God to, if it's going to be turned into the physical blood of Jesus and the blood and the body of Jesus, then I'm going to know it. That way I can tell people. I want to be able to tell people the truth about all that and you know, I believe that I'm a servant of God, and if I seek and pursue God after that and hard enough after that, looking for those answers, because I know the people of the body of Christ would love to know that, I'm going to be able to stand before the whole body of Christ and say, in Christ Jesus' name, I lie not. I speak the truth. And then I'll tell you whatever it is. And you can bank on it, right? Because that's like Paul the Apostle, four times in scriptures, he says he uses the name of God in the name of Christ to say, you know, I lie not. Four times in four different books. It's amazing. And I used to teach that you weren't supposed to do that until I started reading the Bible. It's nice when you read the Bible, right? And there's times in the Old Testament when Abraham, like one of the times Abraham's servant, you know, is going to go get his son a wife. And so he made the servant, Abraham made the servant, put his hand under his thigh and swear to God that he would not find any woman except a woman of his family for his wife. Made him swear. And we start looking all through the Bible, all the times that David swore, different people swore before God. I mean, this is plain in the scripture. I don't know where we've been on all that before exactly, but it's a big thing. It's a really big thing. And we're going to explain that a little bit more as we go, why that's so important to the church, because it's the protection realm for the church. Right, the protection realm of the church is not anybody come in and lie, say anything they want to, deliberately and willfully. God's going to protect us because he wants to protect us, because lies and deceptions are just the opposite of the truth that the Holy Spirit brings us. So that's why God is so powerfully strong on the truth. And like when Ananias and Sapphira were deceiving. They were deceiving. They were bringing a deception into the pure, unadulterated, beautiful, precious, brand new grace, brand new covenant, brand new everything through Christ Jesus. They were bringing a lie in there, and what else they were bringing, I'm not sure, but God didn't like it at all. Amen. And they were gone, man. They were gone. They were out of there. And Peter didn't do it. Nobody cursed anybody. Nobody spoke anything to anybody. You know, God just took care of it. And so when you start seeing this, you know, the reason I talk about this even now, it's not a favorite thing to talk about, except for the purpose of talking about it is about the government of God. Because what we're supposed to do, friends, is prepare the way for the Lord. So if we're preparing the way for the Lord, saying, oh, Jesus, please get Trump back in there again or whatever, you know, please get some godly man in that corrupt system and, you know, straighten it out. It's not going to get straightened out. It's not good at its foundation, not because they didn't use scripture to do some of it and have a good constitution. It's not about that. It's the way the government was set up that you vote on things. And in the kingdom of God, you know, people say, oh, that's a dictatorship. Well, that's what Jesus is going to have. So whatever you think, you better get used to it. Right? So whatever you're going to call Jesus, if you want to call Jesus a dictator, then go ahead. I mean, I guess if you want to do that, I don't think anybody would. But, you know, so this is the kingdom of God. And so what we've been taught in America is that our democratic system that we have, our government, it's been the best. I mean, I'm glad I've been a part of it. But as far as what's happening right now in the spirit realm, God is saying to me as a prophet, prepare my people, prepare the way for the Lord and for his government. Wow, his government. So what do we do? What are we going to do about that? Well, we're going to learn. We're going to get revelation from heaven about it and, you know, get with the apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. That's what our new studio is all about. It's a central place where we're going to, have a throne room type situation, you know, for the body of Christ and for, you know, sending out video and radio and all that kind of thing. And that's what it's all about. That's the purpose of it all. And so that's why it's such a beautiful big place. And it's, you know, it's not that much. The other building we had was 100 feet long, only 25 foot wide. This one's more like 100 by 75, I think, or maybe 100 by, I haven't measured it in feet yet. I know it has 8,000 square feet, but it's not really, it's twice as big as the other thing, at least as the other studio, at least twice as big, which that one was too small, even what I was doing then. for the vision that God's given me. So what we're looking at here, friend, is when we talk about this thing with Ananias and Sapphira, it's not to scare people. It's to say that's what a government of God looks like. Yeah. Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Isaiah, it says that the government was upon his shoulders. What did that mean? Well, I hate to shock to some Republican friends. They're not going to like me when I tell them this, but in the government of God, the medical is free. It's free. Yeah. Now, there's tithes and offerings, you know, but you're not buying anything. But here's what happened with Jesus. The reason I know that it's free is because it says in Scripture that Jesus went about all through Galilee and all over the place healing every manner of sickness and disease. Well, he wasn't holding out his hand for money. Give me some money. You know, this medical plan that God has is free. It's free. It's just called if you got faith. And if you don't have faith, then maybe somebody can help you get faith so you don't die. And so you can, you know, in that area of your life, so you can live and not die and declare the glory of God. But the government of God, friend, is kind of, you know, we hear the Democrats and Republicans wrestling over the style of government and the system that we should have. Well, the Antichrist is going to have a very similar government to what the Lord's going to set up, except it's going to be the Lord Jesus with the nail prints and his side and the piercing in his side and his feet. You know, he still has those, and you can identify him more than that way, but that's one of the ways. So when he comes back, friend, you know, we will have done our job in preparing the way by not focusing on the Democrat and Republican government that we have, the Democrat democracy that we flow in here. And it's been great. But at the root of it, at the foundation of it, I don't care how many scriptures you put in there, the foundation of it is not of God. After 200-something years, it's just falling apart at the seams. You know, it's been falling apart for longer than that. But, you know, so it's really so open for people to come in and choose which side they want to take. But when Jesus comes back, and this is just to show you what he wants to do and what we must prepare the way for. We're not going to prepare the way for you or me to be the president of the church. Jesus is the author and the finisher of the church of Jesus Christ. But when he comes back, there's not going to be any voting on it. So why would we vote? Why would we try to back a system now that votes? No, you don't ask Jesus, you know, should we have same-sex marriage or not? Let's take a vote on that. You guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, obvious things. You know, there are going to be judges that judge. You know, there's going to be judges that judge because Jesus told the disciples. And let me go ahead and find this. Let me give you the scripture. It's so awesome. Some of these fantasy prophecies Jesus gave to a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors, trying to get them to follow him, right? That's what some people say. But these were fantasy prophecies, friend, that Jesus has given to his disciples. You're going to find it in, let me go here. Give me a second. I can't wait to get to the studio, man. All this fiddling around with this sorry internet is like just absolutely worthless. So what we're doing is I'm going to share a scripture with you that's really, really cool, and I think you're going to love it. Let me go back here and find my notes. All right, let's go back here to Matthew 19, verse 27. We'll start in 27 and go on the New King James Version just for the fun of it. 19:27. Sound like a year, doesn't it? I want to go here. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that Okay, Jesus said to them, because Peter just got through saying to them, this will get you going. Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you, Jesus. Therefore, what shall we have?" In other words, Peter's like going, "Okay, you know, I mean, we left everything. Some of those other people didn't leave everything, but we left everything. What do we get?" That's what he's asking in verse 27. Matthew 19, verse 27. And he says, "What are we going to get?" And so Jesus, you know, said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses and brothers and sister and father and mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, last will be first." You see what this is like? You guys have been listening to me give words to people about being judges, right? I mean, I've been doing that. I didn't at all until God started showing me about his government and how he wants us to prepare the way and start believing God for his government, literally his government, which has free medical and the taxes on it are awesome, because when you want to pay your taxes, you can just, it's supernaturally provided, because the Lord just says, "Hey, Peter, go fishing. And when you catch the first fish, look in his mouth, and there's going to be tax money for you and me." Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to go on and on about all the different things that the kingdom of God has in it, the government of God, how it provides. And believe me, friend, it's going to be better than anything the Antichrist can come up with. It's going to be better than anything the Democrats or the Republicans can come up with. Yeah, because they're going to give you free, but it's going to cost you everything. Here with Jesus, you become totally free. Yes, you give your life to him and your tithe and your offerings as you go, but when you get sick, they don't say, you know, you got any money? You got to pay for this. You know, it's going to cost a lot of money." No, the Lord just says, you know, he went around all Galilee and all over the place, healing all manner of sicknesses and diseases. You know, that's the kind of medical that we're going to have. So the government of God is going to be basically free. That's why we here at PGN are preparing the way for the kingdom of God with the free stuff. And it's just beginning. We're just getting going on this. But Jesus, you know, it's like he's giving them some fantasy prophecy. "Oh, you're going to be..." Peter's like a little upset. He's going like, you know, "But Lord, we left everything and followed you. What do we get?" If you read that scripture, it's exactly what it says. What are we going to get? You know, like Jesus didn't rebuke him for saying that. He thought, "Well, that's a good question, Peter." He says, "You know what? Let me tell you." And he starts prophesying to him. Could you imagine what the skeptics would have been saying about this? They'd have been looking at him like, "Yeah, he's just trying to keep him in. Yeah, he wants them to keep working for him for free. So he's going to give them this huge fantasical prophecies about how major, big time they're going to be." That's the way a skeptic would look at prophecy, right? And so Jesus starts prophesying to him after Peter said that. Lord, like, what are we going to get? Jesus said, "Well, you're going to be judges. You're going to judge the whole 12 tribes of Israel." I mean, think about that. These were fishermen. They weren't judges. They were tax collectors. They were the business people. They didn't have a clue about judging anything, right? I mean, this just sounded so fantastic. It's like, "So, oh, it's just those really big prophecies, Jesus. You're just trying to get people to, you know, give their life to you for free. It's not really going to happen. These guys, they're just, you know, there's not much to them. I mean, they're just regular people. And they haven't been trained to be a judge. How are you going to use them for judges when they don't even know how to judge anything? They can't even judge, you know, things at home. You want them to judge the 12 tribes of Israel?" Well, this is a prophetic word Jesus gave them. And they're going like, they're scratching their head going, Peter's going like, "Yeah, man, that's just pretty doggone cool. That's just like, wow, we're going to be judges and we're going to judge the tribes? You mean all these people that the Sanhedrin and all the leaders and the Levitical priesthood and all those guys that have been over us all these years, and the scribes and the Pharisees that have put their thumb down on us and ruled over us,
You mean we're going to judge them? And he's going, yeah. Look up. Things are going to get better. It's going to be great. And he was prophesying to him, just like I prophesy to people. Just like you prophesy to people. We're prophesying. As a prophet, I'm prophesying to people. I've been telling people, you know, I've noticed two or three or four people. I can remember who they were. I didn't know what it meant when I said, you're going to be a judge. God's going to use you to judge things. I'm going, what is that? That doesn't make any sense. And I'm sure some people listening to that were going like, man, well, you know, what's he talking about? A judge, judge what? Well, the Bible says, do you not know that we're going to judge angels and judge the world? We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. This is the government of God. The government of God is not, you don't have to be trained on how to judge. You don't have to go to law school. You just have to go to Jesus school. Just get to know Jesus. Get to know the Lord. Yeah, get in the Word of God, read the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, and then let the Holy Spirit teach you how to judge things, because we're going to be judging angels. Yeah, you and me. That's what it says. And I gave the scriptures last week. I'm not going to give them again, not right now, at least. So you see what I'm talking about. I mean, this is really amazing. And the reason that I'm talking about the government, number one, because God's telling me to do it, and number two, you know, one of the other reasons is because it reveals that when the Bible says preach the gospel of the kingdom, what is a kingdom? A kingdom has a government, and that government has laws. And it's not like we're under the law, because under the law means we have to bring sacrifices and, you know, kill a lamb and all that. That's fulfilled. We're never going to go back to that. We're never going to go back to that. Jesus fulfilled that. But as far as the laws of God, I mean, just think about whether you want these laws to pass away. Think if you want this law to pass away. Thou shalt not murder. Oh, we want to be under that law. Yeah, because we want people going around murdering us. Right? I mean, so what does it mean by being under the law? We gotta get that. We're going to get that right. And God's going to show us so we won't be afraid when we start talking about laws. You know, just like you're under the law of your country, but, you know, you can fulfill it because it's not really that hard. It's just don't be a thief and, you know, and go out and drive, you know, break the speed limit all the time and, you know, trying to kill people and steal and all those things. I mean, if you can't stop doing that, you know, that's why they lock people up. Well, we have a whole different solution for all this stuff, because the kingdom of God, the true kingdom of God that God wants to set up in the earth, which he's eventually going to do, and then Christ is going to come to rule over that kingdom. He's the only one that can handle all the pressure, because there's going to be pressure. And that's why Jesus has been chosen to do it, because he's been tempted in every way, right? The scripture says, not only was he tempted in the wilderness, you know, in all those three major temptations, he overcame those rather quickly. He was offered the whole world. Satan tried to continually get him to do things outside the will of God. You know, he didn't bow to any of it. And then all the other temptations that he went through, the Bible says he was tempted in every manner, such as you and I, but he overcome. He never sinned. So therefore, that made him, that, in other words, he went through the pressure that he was going to go through when everybody's going to be saying, Jesus, we want to vote on abortion. We want to vote on same-sex marriage or whatever things you don't appreciate too much, whatever you want to think about. We want to vote on that, and if you'll vote on that, we'll give you $1 trillion into your government, and we'll you know, and Jesus is gonna, you know, he's not even gonna be tempted with that stuff, friend. Why? Because he's already been tempted in every fashion and manner, through money, through fame, through wealth, through power, all of it. He was tempted with every bit of it. Therefore, now he is truly going to be the ruling Messiah in the coming kingdom. But what's our job? The reason we're preaching this, and the reason as a prophet I'm giving this, I'm not teaching this. I'm not a teacher. Okay? I'm not a teacher. I'm a revelator. I'm a prophet revelator. I don't have a teaching thing over here, and I teach and then I prophesy. This is all the prophetic realm. It's all done as a prophet. So when we revelate, God is restructuring and putting the altar in order. That's what he's about to do. And so you and I are looking for a government similar to what they had, very close to what they had with Peter, when the power of God was so strong there, the glory of God was so strong with them in their, you know, their apostleships, that when people came in, like we talked about, and I said, the government was what what allowed God to be there. So like he told Moses, he said, Moses, do this according to what I say. If you don't do it exactly the way I say, which is what our government has not done, our government didn't build its itself upon, you know, the way Moses had it done, other than the sacrifices, which we don't need those anymore, right? But they didn't build this country on that. And because they didn't, it's been a great system, but it is subject to opening the door to hell through all these, like abortion and all the different levels of sin and unrighteousness that the government has approved of. Those have opened up the doors. Jesus said, I am the door. Why was he the door? Because he only lets in angels and blessings and glory and protection and healing. And his medical, like I said, his medical system is for free, man. You come in his presence, you know, you're going to be healed and delivered. There's not going to be one person that's going, oh, we couldn't have enough faith for them. No, because it's going to be the kingdom of God. And I'm not talking about that far off. And in our job now, the Lord's telling me, I want you to start setting this up, you know, or at least through prophesying. And then when the apostles get a hold of this, which I don't know any of the apostles that have a hold of this right now, they might be out there. I haven't searched it out. If you find something, let me know. But this is important, and a prophet is prophesying it. And plus, I've moved in apostolic before, but I'm a prophet by calling. And so, you know, the reason that God's having me do this is because he's trying to close the doors, because Jesus is the door. When they come to Jesus, they said, open up the door, Jesus, and let us bring in murder and perversion. And the door says, I've already been tempted with all that. No, you're not bringing that in. I'm ruling with a rod of iron, a sepulcher where I'm not going to bow to anything. It's my way or the highway. Let me tell you something, friend. I don't know if you've ever been accused of my way or the highway before, but as a prophet, when God speaks to you and you get a word, and God speaks to you and it's a word from God, it's that way or the highway. And if I'm the one saying the word or you're the one saying it as a prophet, it's that way. And if you don't believe it, just stand back and watch God do it, because when it's God, God's going to do it. It's my way or the highway, the Lord says. And if I'm the prophet saying that, then it's not my way or the highway. It's the prophetic word, my way or the highway, the Lord's way. And that's the way it is, because that's what ruling with a scepter, a rod of iron, is all about, is that he doesn't bow. He's been tempted in every way, every fashion. Therefore, he doesn't open the door, because Jesus is the door to what? The door to let in and let out things. That's why the government was on his shoulders, because he was tempted in a government. Now, listen to this, man. He was tempted in the governmental realm and in every realm, in the medical realm, in the insurance realm. Because, you know, the law, if you read the law, you know, you say, well, we don't supposed to be under the law. Well, what it's talking about. If you don't want to be under the law, then you want to be under the part of the law that says, you know, when somebody steals from you, then they must replace it, you know, sevenfold or whatever. You know, there's laws. That's the laws of God. Those are the laws that God gave Moses when he went into the tabernacle day after day. And the children of Israel heard him speaking to God and God speaking to him. They heard it. They heard it going on. They witnessed it. And what was God doing? He was giving him the laws, and somebody was writing them down, because there was like bunches of them. And he was trying to tell them how we're going to run the country, how we're going to run Israel. And if you do it my way and do it according to the pattern, you will not let any demons in or any devils in or any lies in. And that's why God was so strong on don't compromise on the laws, not just the sacrificial part of it, the way that was done, but at the time that was important. But now even the laws of God are still activated. Why? Because you don't want somebody, if somebody steals from you, the government's going to say, well, you got to return that, and tells them exactly how much to do, how much they got to pay you back. Do you want that or not? Of course you do. If somebody comes in and kills one of your family members, you know, I mean, the law takes care of that. God taught them how to deal with everything. That's why Moses spent so much time. When you read about Moses, and we're going to get into this in the future, when you read about Moses, where he, after they built the tabernacle, that's what the tabernacle was being built for. So God could meet with him and give him the laws of how to run the country. But somebody messes up something, he tells them how to fix it, how to change it. Like back then, you know, they didn't have, they could, people couldn't change. They couldn't go, they couldn't get saved. So when they had adultery, they committed adultery and they were caught in the act, they killed them. Why? Because it was spread like wildfire. So because the adulterer didn't have the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to change, that's how they dealt with it. And there's certain things they dealt with death, because if they let that go, you know, unpunished and dealt with, because once that person had that in their bloodline, that's why they killed them, because it was in their bloodline. And until Jesus came, there was no way to fix the DNA. Right? There was no way to fix that. So you kind of understand what I'm saying? You understand what the Lord's saying tonight about all this? This is very important to understand that the laws of God, we're not under the law in the sense that performing rituals and being saved by what we do. But the laws, kind of like the laws of our nation, you know, most of the laws that come that are from our nation or in our nation are there because they came from, you know, Judeo-Christian, you know, principles and laws. But our country itself is not totally and completely built in the way that God told Moses how to do it. And he said, when you build my kingdom, when you do the laws and you do all that, you do it according to the pattern that I gave. And the pattern that he gave, of course, had sacrificial, but and then Jesus came and he fulfilled that. Now that's done away with, and we don't get saved by works. We get saved by grace. But it's not, if you go out and steal a chicken, somebody's chicken, then when you get busted, the law says how to take care of that. Now we want that, those laws that we want, right? They tell people how to do, what's going to happen to you, and they bring you before the judges. And the judges, you know, judge and say, yeah, you know, you stole the guy's chicken and, you know, he needs it for food and, you know, you're going to have to, you know, and it tells them how to take care of those things. Right? And now when people commit adultery and they're worthy of death, according to the law, well, the reason that part of the law is going to be active is that they're going to become, the law makes them guilty of that sin. Right? So they get caught in the act of adultery. So they become guilty of that. You bring him before the courts of God. And now, because Jesus has died on the cross, we take that adulterous woman or man to the side, to the priesthood that God is calling. And those priests that are dedicated, that's why we give tithes and offerings, so we can have the priest, the kingdom of priests, as the scripture talks about, they're in a place where they can, you know, get that woman who can't stop committing adultery, that man who can't stop committing adultery, and they get him in there and they get him saved and get him cast out the devil and do whatever, and they go through the process. If they reject the process, then they count them as a heathen. That's what Jesus taught. All right, that's the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God, friend, that when we preach the kingdom, we're preaching all of this. We're preaching, number one, what Jesus did on the cross, and pay for those sins so that we can have a DNA change so we don't have to kill people anymore. We don't have to lock them up forever. We put them in a place where they can be taken care of and helped and delivered and saved and set free and restored. Like I said, if they reject that process, then there is a process that the Bible talks about. We talked about it here on the show many times. Then they count them as a heathen. That's different. Then the world system may have them, you know, kill them or whatever, but that's their thing. And so once they're counted as a heathen, then they don't have the safety and protection of their confession and all their sins they have committed, and they're in the process of forgiving and washing and cleansing and changing their DNA and starting taking communion and doing all the things Christ gave us to change our lives. You know, so when that begins to happen, people actually literally begin to change. You were just rotten to the core. They become blessed and holy and full of Jesus, man. I mean, it's just going to be amazing. This is the government of God. When the Bible says preach the kingdom of God, you know, then he's talking about not just preaching about salvation. Salvation is the beginning of it. Salvation is what Jesus paid on the cross for us to be born again. It's what just opens us up to be changed so that they don't have to kill us when we've done something worthy of death. Now we don't kill them. Now Jesus said, I didn't come to kill you or judge you. I came to change you. right, with the woman in adultery. He said, I didn't come to judge you, honey. I know you committed adultery. You're guilty. The law says you should die. But you know what? I'm coming to because now we can change you. And she worshiped him, and she changed, friend. I mean, it's amazing. And this is what we're going to see happen in the body of Christ. It's going to be the body of Christ. You're going to raise up and going to find the place where we can restore people and people that are really messed up instead of sending them to prison for the rest of their life. And they may repent and get right with God. But, you know, the system now doesn't give a rip about that. You know, well, they deserve death. Once an adulterer, always an adulterer. Once a murderer, always a murderer. Well, that's the way they think. So when you get counted as a heathen, you get put in that system, that's what you're going to be at the mercy of. But we don't want that, right? We want the kingdom of God to rule because it, you know, that's why we need to believe. I know it's going to sound crazy. You're not going to think I'm flipping over here, but that's why we need to pray that the Antichrist system, the one world government system, which is trying to take over our government right now. We don't even want that government. We need to quit trying to pray and fix that government. Yes, we need to continue to pray that it does as good as it can while we're here and all that, but we need to change our focus to preaching the kingdom of heaven. Preach the kingdom, the government of God, where there's free medical, where when people come into the presence of God, they get healed and delivered and set free. Cost them nothing. Yeah, when they go to work, they give their tithes and offerings to God, but hundreds of thousands of dollars and be in debt for all their, you know, medical expenses and the system of the court systems. You know, I mean, what they do in the court systems of God is say, hey, you know, yeah, you're guilty. Do you want to get right? Do you want to get it right? Do you want to stop being like that? And they go, yeah, well, okay, we got some kingdom of priests over there. We're going to put you in their hands, and they're going to lovingly, kindly, and graciously help you. Right? And all that counsel, you know, in the attorney situation where they, you know, load you down with all the bills and years of going to court, you know, when you step into the presence of God and you lie on purpose, it's just not going to be good for you. So you don't need attorneys much. No. Yeah. Not that there won't be some attorneys. But you see what I'm saying, friend? That's the thing that we're looking at right now, not in the millennium. I'm talking about right now, if we live according to the book of Acts. Everybody says, oh, we want the book of Acts, the book of Acts, the book of Acts. I'm going like, I mean, I have to say, I didn't understand what the book of Acts that I said I wanted. I didn't understand what it really meant. I didn't understand that. Now I'm starting to. I'm just beginning to. And what Jesus was preaching wasn't preaching, let's get a democracy going on over here. And no, not at all. Not democracy. The kingdom of God, where we don't even open up the door. The door himself, Jesus himself, doesn't. He is the door. He's not going to open up the door to any temptation to change any law. It's all of a sudden we start aborting children when they're like a blob, like we call it, like they call them a blob. When they're like maybe, what, 3 months in the womb, you know, whatever. Oh, we can kill them there because they're just a blob. Well, Jesus knows they're not a blob, and he knows that he doesn't kill and murder anyway. And even if people are worthy of murder and killing, you know what? He goes, man, I died for you, bro. You're going down. You're going up to heaven. And we're going to pray you through. We're going to believe God for you. This is the kingdom of. This is preaching the message of the kingdom of God, friend. The kingdom is a government. The government has the benefits of protection, free. It's free. Paid for by, you know who, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Yes, we have a system until the glory of God returns, like in the Garden of Eden, and we're like that again. You do give tithes and offerings, of course. That's what takes care of the priest and takes care of their families and things while they're helping your loved ones who've been doing all those bad things to get set free. Literally, we don't just kind of hand them up to some church and hope that church has an anointing for what they need. I hope, and they're in church for 10 years and they still, you know, wrestling with all this stuff. Why? Because it's not really the kingdom of God. It's a bunch of men who probably most of the pastors, many of the pastors are people supposed to be businessmen who decided to be pastors when they're not even called to be pastors. And they don't have an anointing. They're not building the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is what we're seeing in the book of Acts. And then when Jesus comes back to take over, dude, it's going to be awesome. Right? Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. So we're talking about all this stuff tonight. The church needs to be a safe place, a fortress. God wants to make the church a fortress, not a place like, oh, my God, if they find out what I've done, they're going to turn me over to the police. Oh, my God, if they find out what I've done, you know, they're not going to want anything to do with me because I've been a bad person. Right? You know, what do you do when you find out one of your church members has committed murder or whatever? Maybe they got saved, but they committed murder, and they come up and they confess it to you. What are you going to do then? Well, according to what people do now, is that, well, I think you should turn yourself into the law. Well, the law, you know what the law is going to do. You already confessed to the murder. What do you think they're going to do? Let you go? More than likely, no. You're going to have to pray really hard for a miracle. And most people don't get them, sad to say. Why? Because that system is not of God. The judges are corrupt, many of them, not all of them. The lawyers are corrupt. The counselors are corrupt. They want money. It's all about money. It's about, you have to have me before you can go in there. You have to. If you have a lot of money, you can get away with murder. If you don't have a lot of money, you're out of here. Friend, that system is corrupt. And it's, for the most part, been like that most of the time. And it's just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Why? Because the door was open for it. Because the government was not built upon like what God told Moses. He said, tell them to build it according to the pattern. What does the pattern have to do with anything, with our government? It has to do with it doesn't let in sin and unrighteousness. Amen? Yeah, because the glory of God's there. And somebody comes in and, you know, like Ananias and Sapphira, because it's the thing most people know about, and that's the way God's going to deal with things. You're going to go, hey, you know, you deliberately and willfully lie. It's not going to be Peter or me or you going to be killing them. You know, or blinding them, or judging them, or convicting them. It's going to be God. And it's going to be God that's doing it. But at the same time, when God makes us judges, like Jesus told the disciples, the apostles, said, you guys are going to be judging. You're going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They're going to like, man, that is some hot stuff. That's what we were thinking, but we didn't know we're going to actually be we're going to be over them now. Oh, that's going to be cool. And that's really what happens. It's just amazing. Y'all, this is the word of the Lord. I'm saying, thus saith the Lord. This is where everything's shifting. To me, God's shifting. You can tell when I'm into something, because everything's shifting toward the government. Why? Because the government we have now is heading toward the one world government as fast as it can. Everybody's praying, oh, please stop it, please stop it. Well, I'm not saying don't pray that. I'm not saying don't pray for your government. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, why are you focusing so much attention praying for that when it's already at its base, not in the pattern that God gave Moses and Jesus and David? Do you hear what the Lord is saying tonight, friend? Are y'all listening? Or are you out there? You with me? I mean, you getting this? You're getting this, aren't you? Does this sound blasphemous to you or something, or what? Yeah. I mean, this is it. This is that. When the book of Acts was fulfilled, Peter said, this is that, what the prophet said. And this is really awesome, y'all. And the cool thing about it is our studio is going to be kind of like a place of, you know, where we're going to broadcast this message and get this word out. And apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers, those who get the message, I don't know how many of them are going to get it. I can't guarantee any of that stuff. With what happened with the Trump situation and the Trump and Biden situation, you know, the warfare I went through on that was unbelievable. You know, it was fun, honestly, to a certain degree. But, you know, I mean, when you start telling people, quit focusing so much on democracy, they're going to call you a blasphemer. Well, we're patriots. I think all the prophets turn into patriots. It's hard to be a patriot.
But hey, when God says, you know, a patriot is what are you a patriot of? The king, the government of God, or the government of the United States of America? Which one? That's why they fought against Peter, Paul, and Mary, Peter, James, and John, all the guys, because they said, well, you know, they accused Jesus of, he's trying to come in and take over the government. You know, that's what they accused him of. He's coming to take you over, Caesar. Pilate, this man says he's the ruler of Israel, and now Rome is the ruler of Israel, and you know, you need to crucify him because he wants to come in and take over the government. And Jesus said that he even confronted, was it Pilate or whoever it was, he said, my kingdom's not of this world. And that didn't mean that when we go to heaven it's going to be. He means that it's going to come to earth, and it's going to come to earth starting the book of Acts. But it's going to come from heaven, that the rule is going to come from heaven. With Peter, when the Ananias and Sapphira thing happened, that was the ruling from heaven. That was heaven ruling the earth saying, you know, you just messed up big time. Sorry, you're gone. Are y'all getting this? Does it make sense? Is this what you want? Yeah, I think it is. I think it's what we want. I think it's our protection. As long as our government, you know, we've talked for a few years now, how that when they did the same-sex marriage thing, that opened up the gate for demons to come in. Well, you know what the government of God does? The government of God, when it's truly founded on God and based on and done through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, that stuff, the door, who's Jesus, isn't going to let any of that stuff in. He's not going to allow, oh, yeah, let's vote on that. We're going to vote on nothing. It's going to be ruled with a scepter of righteousness, a rod of iron. Not cruel and mean, but unbendable, unflexible to sin and unrighteousness. All right. Do communion. Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody, for giving. Thanks for being part of PGN. Thank you for all of it. God is blessing, and we are blessed and highly favored. I believe it. And we're pioneering. We are pioneering. We're prophetic pioneering. Pioneering the gospel of the kingdom of God. Amen. We're believing God to set in order the altar. Now, I didn't even think about all that when I got those words a few years ago about setting things in order. It has to do with what's going on now. I didn't have a clue, honest to God. Yeah. So as we set up the kingdom of God and however God does it, then it's going to be a thing of safety and protection. That's why I think that I want you to listen to this. I could go on for a couple of hours on this because there's so much, and I have so much revelation on it. The secret place of the Most High God, the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God is going to be the church of God. Even before Jesus comes back, it's going to be a dwelling place of safety and protection through the apostles and prophets and evangelists, and so this is what God's doing and is going to do. It's going to be a safe place for people who need a safe place of protection from the enemy, right? It's going to be being connected to, not necessarily being in a particular church. It's not about being in a particular building or a particular church. This is a worldwide thing that's being done in the spirit through people who hear the message and they believe the message. And they receive the message, and they heed to the message, and they quit spending all their time in China, wherever they're at, Africa, wherever they're going to quit praying. They're going to pray for their government a little bit, but it's more of starting to pray around the world, around the globe, for an agreement and the knowledge of the kingdom of God, the government of God, because when it rules, people get saved. People get delivered. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it is a government, literally, We will be just like the Book of Acts, where the government of under the law, the church, the Israel under the law, that was a kind of a government situation, and also the Roman government was fighting the Book of Acts government, right? And it was a pretty horrendous fight. So we got to realize that, you know, this is where we're heading, and we need to wake up to it, like now. Because I'm prophesying to you, thus saith the Lord, this is what the message is going to be. It's going to encompass the globe and gather together. You talk about a harvest going to gather together and create a temple, but it's not going to be a temple of what we have a building over here, but it's going to be a temple that's made of people who believe in the gospel of the kingdom, of the government of God, and quit focusing on the governments of this world. They're going to turn into Antichrist. System, one world systems. You have to have the chip to get their money. You have to have their DNA shot to get your DNA fixed so you can be protected. They're going to be your shepherd. They're going to be the shepherd of the world. But we are going to be the shepherds of the gospel of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ and prepare the way for the Lord to come back. And when he comes, we're going to have prepared the best we can, preaching the right gospel, where when he comes back, he goes, yeah, pretty good job there, Chandler and all you other guys. Yeah, pretty good job, man. Pretty good job. I'm going to straighten out there. We're going to tweak this and tweak that. And we're going to do some major tweaking here, but you did a great job. Thank you. Prepared the way good. John, like John the Baptist, prepared the way for the Lord. From one priesthood to another priesthood. He belonged to the priesthood of his, you know, the temple. He was a Levite. John the Baptist was a Levite. So he was transitioning, you know, that's what his job was. And so, anyway, that's kind of what we're doing. That's our job. So just letting you know, and that's what the studio is all about. It's about training. It's about, you know, teaching and revelating and prophesying and apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, getting that message out, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, with true prophets, with true apostles, with true evangelists, pastors and teachers, set up all over the globe. And we're going to be a major part of transitioning to that, because that's what's going on. And as a prophet, that's what's going on from God's perspective. And we must get it in our minds so that we can walk in it, begin to believe it, begin to change the way we think. And we're, oh, I hope we get somebody in the government that's on our side. Oh, my God. Just forget that nonsense. It's going to become nonsense. So important, man. We just idolize the fact that democracy, man, that's it. Well, it's been the best, you know. But you can see where that's going, at least the way it's set up with us in the U.S. It's not going anywhere. And you can't change something that's at its foundation is not of God, not according to the pattern. Or we'd have never had voting in the first place. Of officials and presidents, and who's going to run the place? Jesus is going to run this one. Y'all, I'm trying to move on here. I really am. Thank you for your giving, and thank you for your love and everything you do. We appreciate that. I see some of you are putting on their building fund. Thank you very much for that. I'm trying to get it written down here, so give me just a second. All right, get your communion ready, and let's get ready to do communion. I'm going to talk to you. We're going to talk about this a lot tonight, so get ready, because communion is full of the kingdom of God and the government of God. Just get ready. We're going to talk about it a lot, because once you start seeing it, it's everywhere, literally. Hey, hang on a second.
Okay.
Y'all, I am so excited about this message. I've got so much energy. I have to like hold myself down. Literally, it's just giving me so much energy. It's amazing. Just like overtaken with it. You know, it's just really beautiful. I really love it. Taking me over, literally. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. All right. If you want to give tonight, you can do that. Go to randychandler.com on your phone or your computer, and either one, and you can just click on donate. It's real simple, real easy. And you want to give to the government of God? Let's start changing the way we do that. Give to the government of God. You know, the government of God is not taxes as much as it is, you know, tithes and offerings. But that's, you know, just the way it is until we get back to the Garden of Eden. Then we won't be any of that even. Because everything, all the curse will be over everything. Everything will be totally restored. All right. So thank you. And let's get ready to take communion. I'm checking everything one more time to make sure there's not any offerings coming in. I'm not aware of. I saw that Angela Joyce had put that as building fund. Got you on that. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Really, really, really cool. All right. What now? We're just moving along. I just love this stuff. I'm so excited. I can hardly stand myself. I mean, literally. I'm just like a little kid in the candy store, and I mean that like just about literally. It is just absolutely mind-boggling to me what God is revealing. I've just never seen anything like, I mean, to me, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's mind-boggling. Maybe it's just because God's given it to me, and I'm so, you know, I'm so whatever. And I don't know anything until he shows me, you know. So there's something about it. Something about it's very, very exciting. Okay, so let's take communion here. Let's get communion out. And if you already have that going on, let's see. Here we go here. All right, 1 Corinthians 11. Let's get our communion. And I got mine right here. And I told you guys what I'm doing with the, does it turn into literally the physically, the body and the blood of Jesus? I'm literally right now a set of communion that I'm praying over every day, laying hands on it, you know, two or three times a day sometimes. And I am praying. I said, God, if this is really physically, literally going to be your, if it's literally physically your body and your blood before we drink it, I want to know. I mean, I want to know that for me to know so I can tell people, thus saith the Lord. It is, because I'm going to have it tested. I'm praying over it. I got it right here. It's this one right here. You probably can't see that, but it's right here. And I'm praying over it every day, believing God to show me that so I can declare it to the world. And I will. I will. I don't care what anybody says about it. It has nothing to do with the Catholics. It has nothing to do with anybody. I'm not a Catholic. Let me go here. Oh. Okay. If you got your communion, we're going to take that right now. But pretty soon we're going to know. I don't even have a clue when. I have no clue when or how it's going to work. I have no, I have no clue. I'm just doing it, and I'm believing God. And when he shows me, you will know it. And if you don't understand it or don't like it, just pray for me. But I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove it.
However I can prove it in Jesus, with Jesus helping me, and I'm going to say, in Christ I lie not. This is the body and the blood, and whatever it's going to go, I don't know, but it's going to be proven. I'm going to document it. Yeah, as a prophet, I'm going to document it and have my life, in my name, in Jesus' name, placed to it that I would swear before God that, this is evidence. And that way, you're going to find out. I'm going to teach on this soon. Pray for me and remind me about this, but why it's important, why swearing is important. That's not cussing. I'm not talking about cussing. That was funny. Swearing, like Abraham got his servant before his servant went to find his son a wife. He made him swear. Swear to me. You're not going to, okay, I swear. Oh, I thought the Bible said we just say, yeah, that's it, and we don't have to say, I swear. Well, on some things, I don't know why, but it's just there. So we need to incorporate that, and I'm going to tell you the reason why very soon. Why it's in the Bible and why they did things to make people swear. Are you lying? Are you telling the truth? That's what Peter did, telling the truth. You just lied to the Holy Ghost. You see what I'm saying? It's a big, big deal, and the devil has just washed it right out of the Word of God through preachers and through me. I've even believed in that. I taught it. And so if you taught that, don't feel bad. I taught the same thing. It was taught to me. So we're going to change that if God gives us through the Word of God, by the Word. All right, let's take communion before I start preaching about that. Okay, communion has to do with the government of God, too. You know the story. God told Moses to get a lamb, cut him, put the blood over the doorpost, and they ate unleavened bread, and they put the blood over the doorpost. And so Jesus turned it into communion. Jesus did that, not me. Not Paul, Jesus Christ turned it into communion. And he took bread and juice, wine actually, and he blessed it, broke it, and he said, this is my body, this is my blood. Jesus did that. What was he preaching about? What was he talking about? What happened with Moses when Passover was instituted in the book of Exodus? So we need to understand this so that we can, get it in our thinking correctly. So but watch this now. Hang on a second. Listen to what happened, because we're talking about how this has to do with the government, literally the government of God, literally. So the death angel passed by because of the blood of the doorpost, right? They'd eaten unleavened bread, and then they got money, right? They went to the neighbors and got the money. They walked out. They literally just ransacked Egypt. The scripture says that they plundered Egypt. They plundered Egypt, walked out with their wealth, gold, silver, and clothing, earrings, all kinds of gold and silver, right? So they get out into the wilderness. This is all communion tonight. I want to connect this to communion. I'm going to do a real quick job on it. So they get out into the wilderness. What happens? What do they do with the money? The money became the currency for their what? Their government. The money they got because of Passover that delivered them and got the gold and the silver and all the cloth, and they walked out of Egypt with it. What did they do with that? It became their currency, and they built the temple with it. What did the temple have to do with? Place to go sing Hallelujah, I Love You, Jesus? No, that was just one part of it. It was, what was Moses doing up on the mountain? Getting the law. The law for what? For the instructions, not just getting the law, but getting the instructions to build a tabernacle. And once he built a tabernacle, then God gave him like 600 and something laws. If he went in there just, I don't know if it was every day, but regularly. And they could hear him talking, and God was speaking to him, and they were writing this stuff down. That's how all the laws to govern the world,
that God's going to govern the world by was given to Moses on that day. Now, the sacrificial lamb thing, all that, all the offering, the blood, and the Jesus fulfilled that. We're not going to be doing that. But everything else God gave laws on is how he wants to rule, you know, justice and fairness. Now, there won't be eye for an eye. You're going to pluck your eye out. But, you know, there's a few little things there that, unless you're counted as a heathen or something, but what they'll pluck out of you is the devil. What they'll pluck out of you is unrighteousness. That's what's going to get plucked. So you don't lose your eye, but you will have to pay the person back for what they, you know, somehow or another. But Jesus paid for everything. Therefore, you don't pay with your eye for an eye anymore. See, that part of the law, there's different parts of the law that we're talking about that are different. But if somebody steals something from you, how it gets replaced and how you deal with it, if they have a stealing problem, then you bring them in to the kingdom of priests and they do the job, set people free, and deliver them. But it's all about the government of God. So when we just lift up the bread tonight, and the scripture says that Paul the Apostle says, "For I received from the Lord that I also deliver to you that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, blessed it, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's partake of the blood, body, friend, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We lift up the cup. Precious body of Jesus, thank you. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this. Not maybe, not do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink. Precious, precious Jesus. Precious, precious body of the Lamb of God. Precious, precious Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord and my God. God, I thank you that we're eating your body. I don't know when it turns into your body. I know it turns into your body. I do not know when. Physical, as we put in our mouth, because we prayed over it. But I know it turns somehow into the body of Jesus, into his blood, and it's going through your system right now, friend. What? Cleansing you, washing your genes, not the genes that you wear. We're not talking about the genes that you wear. We're talking about the genes that wear you, your genetic code. Not the genes you wear. It's washing your genes, not the genes you wear, but the genes that wear you, your genetic code. And he's changing that, washing that, removing sickness and disease out of that system so your system can heal itself. Because God made, listen, you want a miracle? God gave your body to heal itself, friend. The Holy Ghost made your body to heal itself. That's one of the blessings we have. Oh, I'm just believing God for a miracle healing. Well, yeah, me too. But you know what? There's also the other process where God Almighty made your body to heal itself. Now, if you have a broken leg or an arm or something, you know, or you get your eye put out, that is different, right? God will have to create that. That's a different thing. Your body can't heal that. Now, once the bone is put back in place, it'll heal itself. Because the body was made by the Lord Jesus, by God, to heal itself. So we got to incorporate that and quit saying, I want the supernatural. Well, that is supernatural, friend. Mankind was not ever. He wasn't anything. He was nowhere around. All of a sudden, God said, "Let us create man." He created man. Boom. You are a creative miracle. You're Adam and Eve. Adam was a creative miracle. He came out of the dirt and was given a body. And in that body, when God made that body, friend, he made that body to heal itself. So for the most part, yeah, we have so many sicknesses and diseases and things that just that your body is so messed up, your immune system is so messed up that people get sick all the time. Why? Because their immune system, because your body's not functioning. Just its immune system alone will heal most of your diseases. Oh, I want a miracle from God. I mean, I hate to say it like that. I want a miracle from God. Well, so do I. I want it to be the supernatural, Randy. I want it to be the supernatural. I understand what you mean by that. And believe me, I've said the same thing, believe the same thing. But you got to understand, your body was so powerfully made by God Almighty that what do you think he put it in you? He put in you, you are the temple of God, friend, and the temple of God has the power to heal itself because God made it that way. Not the devil, not you and me. Oh, what are you saying? What are you saying? I'm saying God made your body. So we didn't need God. Yeah, God made your body. So when you give God the glory and give him the praise and give him the thankfulness for making your body, then, you know, you open yourself up to what he's already put in you, and that is that I think most diseases would be healed and never even be able to enter into your body if your body was functioning to heal itself before any of that stuff ever got going. But no, we fill ourselves with all kinds of trash and nonsense and poisons, and we just believe God. Well, those poisons and stuff we're putting in our body, yeah, you don't go to hell for that. Of course not. You can eat anything you want to and not go to hell. It's not about that. It's not about going to hell. That's not the issue here. Well, you can eat anything. The Bible says we can eat anything. You can, but that's about going to hell. Under the law, you would be condemned. That's done away with. You can still eat it. It's okay. Eat it all you want to. But you know what? Those poisons get in there, and they totally turn your system around where your immune system quits working, which God made your immune system that when cancer starts going in your body, it'll start eliminating it if your immune system's working. But our immune system has been so compromised because all we eat is trash all day long. You can eat your trash, and you're not judged under the law anymore because we're not under the law. But you know what? We know what happens. Your body is not made for that trash, and your immune system just goes, help me, help me. Healthy, and you're not giving it any help because you keep feeding it trash. Well, I'm just believing God to heal me. I can eat anything I want to. Man, you are dadgum like stupid to say that. That's a stupid statement. That's almost blasphemous to say that. Myself, I can compromise any way I want to. I can sin any sin, food sin that I want. I can eat any poison I want to, and I'm going to be just fine. All right, if you're doing it deliberately and willfully, you're not going to be just fine. You need to get that in your head, dude. I'm getting carried away, aren't I? Yes, and I love it. Believe me. Yeah. Oh, yes, sirree. Yes, sirree, Bob. Yeah. Yes, sir. You need to get a hold of stuff, man. I'm not playing games, although I love you. But we're doing the real thing around here. So quit trying to just act like you can do anything you want to. You can. You know, as far as going to hell, of course you're not going to go to hell for eating pork and all that. Pork is fun to eat. Until your body starts going through your system, your body's not made for pork. You can eat it. The issue about that under the law is that you're not under the law anymore. You can eat it if you want to. But when your immune system goes down, you start dying of whatever it is. Your body, your immune system wasn't strong enough to start fighting off that cancer before it turned into a big mess. Then, you know, so be it. You go to heaven early. Enjoy. All right. I know. I told y'all. I'll be preaching to you tonight. We so misunderstand. We quote things in the Word of God that we don't have a clue what we're talking about. And I'm talking about me. Until God starts showing me. I don't know. All right, give me a second here. I'm going to get ready to pray over offerings. So hang on just a moment. All right. Okay, let's go here and start praying over offerings tonight. Thank you for being with us. And I could keep on preaching. Like I said, you don't believe me, I could preach for 3 or 4 or 5 hours.
I can do that easy. Easy. But I'm taking it easy on y'all. Yeah. Go here and believe God for miracles in your financial realm. Thank you for giving tonight. You want to give tonight? You can do that. Go to randychandler.com on your phone or your computer, www.randychandler.com. And it'll take you to, you know, other places, but you'll end up there. Okay. Okay. All right, let's do this thing. Thank you, Jesus. All right, thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing tonight. We just welcome you into this place. We thank you, Jesus, for your grace, for your power, for your love, for the manifestation of your word. And bring forth the manifestation of your word, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray for Andrea. Andrea, $5 building fund. Thank you for that building fund. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you are sending notes after you gave for your building fund. I think I've got most of them, but if not, let me know. Like I said, we had another $1,000 added to the pot last week, and I think they still owe some. They're going to be giving some to when you give from the building fund, then there's the match money that comes with it. And so, yeah, I think they're a little bit behind. I mean, I haven't kept them exactly, but another $1,000 came in last week and for match money. So, thank God. It's come around 20,000 something, in the 20,000s. What's been raised through the building fund money and through the matching. If somebody gives 50 and puts building fund on it, then they add 50 to it. Right? So, yeah, pretty cool. All right, awesome. So let's go here and thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for Andrea tonight. Lord, we just thank you for the building blocks with her, God, that you're bringing in the building blocks in Jesus' name and building, God, a safe place. God, you're using her to build safe places, places that can be safe and you know, kept to build a safe place. You know, just safe. I don't know what I'm talking about here, but a place that's safe for people to come and dwell. You know, something like that. Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus, for opening up that contingency plan. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Contingency. What's a contingency plan? I don't even know. Let me go ahead and look this up. Meaning of contingency plan. Okay. You know, I don't know what this means exactly. Contingency plan means a plan designed to take a possible future event or circumstances into account. Oh, I don't have a clue what that means, Andrea, but I got the word contingency plan. You know, a plan designed to take a possible future event or circumstance into account. Contingency plans for dealing with oil prices. oil spills. That's kind of an example it uses, but that's what I got, girl. I don't know what that is exactly, but I don't have a clue what that applies to. Maybe you can pray about that and look it up for yourself. But anyway, there you go, contingency plan. So, and what I like about that is it says it's for the future, which we, the future is very prophetic, future stuff, plan designed to take a possible future event or circumstance into account. That could be, you know, I'm talking about, I think that's going to be some really positive, great stuff to deal with, you know, what's coming down the pike with the kingdom of God. And maybe got to get more specifics about that later, Andrea, but I don't know. If you, anyway, very interesting. So God bless you with that. Put that into action or begin to understand what that is, contingency plan. All right, Maureen, $5. Thank you, Maureen, for your love for God. That God wants to wow you. He wants to wow you. Like, wow, 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 wow. And your, you know, your ability to believe him by faith, to wow you, to just like go, wow, I didn't know that was going to happen. Oh, wow, I didn't realize it was going to happen. My prayers didn't answer that fast. Just the wow zone, the whole being in awe of God and being, you know, just being in awe that, you know, not God speaking to you about things, like giving you revelation. Like, when he gives me revelation of like the gospel of the kingdom, the government of God, you know, when I get that information, I mean, it just wows me. I'm wowed by that, literally. And God's showing you how to, he's going to wow you by things, by your financials, and start wowing you. You're going to go, wow, that's amazing. Randy, I got some wows. I got some wow testimonies. W-O-W. Wow. Wow, what God wowed me with. And because he wants to make you happy. He wants to please you. Well, God didn't want to please us. He just wants us to please him. Yeah, but when you please him, you know, he just, God is not some stingy old goat who's out there trying to be, you know, he wants to bless you. He wants to make you happy. And he knows the only thing that's going to make you happy is his stuff. But when he shows you his stuff and what it is, then, you know, you be happy with the right thing, then it just makes you happy, right? So he's making you happy by bringing you to the right place, bringing you to the right people, bringing you the right answers, bringing you to the right place to where you're just like, oh, I feel safe, I feel happy, feel secure. Yeah, I have some needs, but, you know, I'm starting to just feel, you know, pleased, like God is trying to please me. Exactly. We please God. And it just causes God, because when you walk in the things of God, it pleases you. So when he shows you miraculous things, or just supernatural things, or just answers to things, to wow you, it's like knowing God's speaking to you. So get ready for God to speak to you in a very, very beautiful way and to just wow you, right? And to, you know, call you forth into hearing his voice and confirming his voice, you know, right? Yeah, because he's wanted to speed up the confirmation cycle of, you know, confirmation on things for you, so you can move. You can say, okay, that's not God. I'm moving out of that. Okay, this is God. I'm staying with this. You know, God's showing you, giving you confirmation cycles, speed, where you don't have to wait for confirmation for 5 years or 3 years or a year or a month or a week. You know, he can confirm things in 5 minutes or in 5 days, or I don't know how big it is, how important it is, and what, you know, what it all entails, but the speed of which he confirms things to you. Very important to have things confirmed. People don't realize that. The Bible talks about confirmation. It's very, very important, because that's just the way God does it. And it's a secure thing for us. So we need to, don't be afraid to ask him for a confirmation, Maureen. He wants to give it to you, and he wants to speed up the cycle of which it happens for you so you can move along faster. Because, you know, we shouldn't move along without confirmations, you know. Confirmation can be, God, you want me to do that? And he goes, yeah. You know, and then you get, sometimes that's confirmation, you know. I mean, you know that you know it. Some things, we get things we're not sure about, you know. We'll get it. So step toward it and be ready to, you know, hear from God that, you know, that's not the perfect plan. You know, it's not a big deal. But he wants to confirm it to you quicker, so you don't spend 5 weeks sitting there, you know, thinking about a move and you know, OS, you know, something must happen faster for you. So, yeah, timing issues, changing Jesus' name. Amen. So you can move along faster. Anya, $5. Thank you, Anya. Father, I thank you for Anya. I thank you for that healing revival.
I thank you for that healing revival, God, that for the gifts of the Spirit to begin to activate in her life, God, like she's never seen before, just showing her things, quickening things to her. The Holy Spirit just coming on her suddenly, and you know, and the Holy Spirit just coming upon you suddenly, and you're going like, you know, wow. These people, I'm sure they all got the vaccine, and I cannot stress enough. They just don't understand how dangerous this is. Yeah. Well, I don't take the vaccine. I don't know any. God has not spoken to me about the vaccine yet, but I just not. I'm not going to take it. So, yeah, let's. We had somebody come on the show the other night, Barbara from Texas, that said she had taken the vaccine. You know, so I'd like to see kind of what goes on with that. And we're watching the thing. We are definitely watching it, but I don't have a word for it. But if you feel like that's what's going on, then, yeah. So thank you, Jesus, for opening up that information. We just pray for a family, because that's maybe what the healing thing is all about. You know, I don't know. But that's what I got. You know, it's about the healing, you know, outpouring. That's what you heard me say that, right? So that's before you sent that to me. It's before I read that, as you know. I think you know that. But, yeah, so that's in Christ, I tell you the truth. So in Jesus' name, yeah, amen. So get ready, because maybe that's part of this thing, is praying healing and miracles over people and believing God for them. Yes, okay, she says yes, thank you. All right, you're so welcome. All right. Okay. All right, God bless on that. That's probably what that was about, because I didn't know that. But all right, there you go. So thank you, Jesus, on that. And start covering it with prayer for healing now, that the poisons that are in there, and of course, there's so many different things going on about the vaccine. I have not heard anything about the vaccine. I just know that I don't take it. I don't take any kind of anything. No flu shots, no nothing. Because, you know, what I know, what I found out, and I heard again tonight, that God made our bodies with an anointing. They call it the immune system. We need to start calling the change that from immune system to anointing system, the anointing to heal, because that's what the immune system made. But the problem is our immune systems are so bad off that every time something hits us, we have to suffer with it for a long time, you know, because our immune system. So pray that our immune systems will kick in. We've got our eyes on the wrong thing. It's just all about supernatural anointing. Well, we got our eyes on that, and we also got our eyes on the fact that God supernaturally made our bodies with supernatural intervention into our body to heal our body, and that's called the immune system, right? So we need to pray not just for a miracle for them, supernatural, but also that their immune system. And I think with most people that really maybe have a hard time believing for miracles is to pray that their immune system. And then I talk about things where people need to, you know, not just pray for the immune system, but start feeding them things that feed their immune system. And as we learn how to activate the immune system, people know, well, I'm just going to believe God for a miracle, man. I'm going, yeah, well, the miracle is God's given you an immune system, so feed it. Get that thing going. Activate it. It'll take care of things for you. Every other week, man, I need a miracle. Every other week, I need healing for this. I need healing for that. Okay. Well, that's okay. I mean, I don't want to make people feel bad about that, but we're trying to teach something here, and that is get your immune system going. Quit eating a bunch of trash and garbage that causes your system to quit communicating and going like, there comes a disease. Yeah, I don't remember what God told us how to attack that. I can't remember what he said because I'm so dulled out with all this wonderful tasting donuts and sugar, you know, all the time. You know, I can't hardly think straight to fight off this cancer or this disease. I can't think clear. Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you. Wake up, friend. In the name of Jesus, awaken in Jesus' name. This is very, very important. Oh, God didn't create our bodies. It's not supernatural. It's just natural. Are you kidding me? The immune system is the free medical plan your body has in it. Yeah, activate it. Start focusing on that instead of doctors, and start eating right foods and start praying and find out what your body's made. You might find out it's pretty powerful. I'm going to shut up now. Okay, Sarah, $7. Thank you, Sarah, for that. I see your eyes. I see something with your eyes. I think I talked about this before. I don't remember, but I see something with your eyes where your eyes are getting clearer, the way you see things clearer, the way you understand, because seeing and understanding is kind of the same thing in a lot of ways. Seeing and hearing, is kind of the same thing. So, so I see your seer. The seer part of you is just awakening up. And people think, oh, just certain people have seer gifts. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what I think about that yet. I'm waiting for God to show me more. So, but I think that more people have the seer ability than we realize. I think the seer is kind of like everybody's got an immune system. Everybody's got an immune system. You don't have to have a special body to have an immune system. Everybody's got one. The same thing with seeing. I think the seer part of us, I don't know, I think we all have that. Different people may have more of it. I don't know, but there's something about that. So that's what I see happening, Sarah. God is awakening that, and some of it's through the ministry you're getting. Some of it's through the prophetic words you're getting, through the revelations that you're getting. If you listen to the revelation from heaven, that food, the food from heaven activates, right? Food from heaven activates your gifts. Food from heaven sharpens and activates your discerning ability. Food from heaven, you can't get some sloppy, joppy bunch of junk trash going to church, and all they feed you is just a bunch of non-anointed trash going on. It may be all scripture, but it's not quickened by the Holy Spirit. You got to quit eating that stuff, man. Everybody, you, me, all of us, we got to start eating revelation word from the living God. It comes from a Baptist, a Methodist, or me. Doesn't matter. It needs to be life quickening word of the Holy Spirit. That's the food that activates. Just like alcohol, one drink of alcohol activates your genetic code to passionately want alcohol. Now I got to have alcohol. But the same thing that the word of God, that's the same thing. It activates your genetic codes of the Holy Spirit that want to crave Jesus. And you just find, I can't get enough of Jesus, Randy. What are you doing to me? I'm not doing anything to you. It's that food you're eating, that revelation word. It's activating things. Don't tell me it don't work. It works, and in the natural realm proves it. Activation of alcohol, one drink of alcohol, activation of genetic codes. What do you think the Holy Ghost, what do you think eating and drinking Jesus does? It activates your system where you just get obsessed with Jesus. I'll take some of that. I'm getting some of that, man. All right, Sally, $7. Thank you, Jesus. I see urgencies. I see God dealing with things that are urgent. God showing you how to deal with things that are urgent, things that are not so urgent, to focus on what's important, focus on what it needs to be focus on right now. And if there's nothing to focus on, then relax. You know, let God work. Sally, let God work. Sally from the UK, let God work. And so God's showing you how to deal with things that are urgent, you know, and then just drop everything else, focus on the urgent things. And then, you know, you focus on that, pray about that, and then little by little, you know, something else will be more important than you. You know, so God's going to show you how to take care of business to where you don't feel like you're not getting anything done. You know, the things that you feel like are important to get done, but to show you the important things to focus on, like we talk about food, eating the right foods in the natural realm. What are the right foods to do to your body? The scientists will tell you, the chemical makeup of broccoli activates your genetic code to produce health. That's putting it in my terminology. That's what they say. They say that, not me. So it makes sense that God would do that. So the same thing with spiritual food debates for certain things. So so as God shows you, you know, what to eat, how to eat it, and the information that you get, that will open up your eyes to what God says is urgent, what God says is important to focus on. Like the whole world will be focusing on, get Donald Trump to be president. We got to have him as president or else we're all going to go down. And not Joseph Biden. So they all focus on the wrong thing. And when Biden came along, they all like going, they were all stunned and, you know, like, wow, why? Because they're all focusing on the wrong thing. Would it have been good in the national realm to have Trump again? Yeah. Been cool. But God's doing something different. It's what God's doing, not what people say is going on. That's why revelation and prophetic revelation is important. Yeah, I know I'm focusing on PG in a little bit, but there's a reason why I'm saying that. I'm not just yakking. This is important. You know, and God says, you know, getting not just a good teacher is great, but the teacher says kind of teach about something that's not important for what God's doing right now. You know, months ago, years ago, you know, when was it? Before the coronavirus hit, Sally, you know, I was talking a lot about how, you know, God had given me natural things like a brew that I made up that he gave me that had mostly pomegranate juice made from pomegranates, not bought at the store, but I mean, not juice bought at the store, but actual pomegranate, make juice out of that. So, you know, and so what happened, you know, my immune system became so strong just through doing that, that I didn't get colds anymore. I always get colds, 2 or 3 colds a week, a year, at least. And I wasn't getting colds anymore. I didn't even think about it. I didn't even know. Oh my God, what's happened? I'm not getting colds anymore. Or says, yeah, you know, because I've been teaching you how to activate your immune system. And there's certain foods, things that activate them. We've got to have the medication, man. Got to have the pharmaceuticals. God says, okay, you can do that if you want to for now, temporarily, but start focusing on building your immune system through the natural things that God has given. Now, God's already provided supernatural medicine, friend. It's called pomegranates. That's one of the many things, lots of things that God has provided medication for you, because broccoli activates your health system to work right, as well as a bunch of other things. He's already provided for us. We're not good. Oh, Jesus, I need to believe God for a miracle. No, you need to eat right. Yeah, I believe God for miracles. Start eating right. Start activating that body. I don't need perfect. I don't need perfect. But pretty close. Yeah. The reason apples and oranges and stuff are sugars, because sugar is what helps your – this is a medical, scientific, proven fact – The sugar that God, not the devil, not the world, not it just happened to show up, God put in apples and sugars, even sugars in the vegetables, you know, those sugars are what help your cells communicate. That's one of the things that helps them communicate. But if they're not communicating, your body's like going, oh, I forgot, oh, man, we lost connection with you, man. We forgot to tell you that you had some sickness coming your way, but we couldn't connect with you, so we couldn't tell you how to handle it. Sorry. Headquarters is kind of like a little slow right now. Yeah, it's all this food we're getting, man. It's awesome. Well, it tastes great, but what's messing me up? Yeah, what happened? Because your communication systems, just like with anything else, our communication with God, our communication around this whole thing about communication, it's also with your body and the things that we eat, just like alcohol activates that, as we said 100 times, you know, other foods like pomegranate juice activates your immune system. High level. You need to get it in your body consistently. I don't know. I'm not really talking to you, Sally, so much. I don't really know what I'm talking about here or who I'm talking to. I just want to talk to everybody. But somehow this word is fitting for you. So because when God starts showing you what's important, we focus on, okay, I got to save money for medication. God says, why don't you save money and get some pomegranate juice or save some money and start eating right, eating better. Yeah. Focus on that. See, God's going to show you what to focus on. I'm not saying you can have to focus on that, but whatever he's having you focus on, you know, we need to keep our body healthy. Well, we start thinking, you know, what's going to do that? Well, what does the Bible say keeps your body healthy in the natural realm? Prayer? No, not prayer. Unless you're praying about what to eat, right? Then it becomes the answer. You know, seeking God. No, would you just go Google the foods that are good for you that make your body healthy and that God has made them. That's the scripture should have. You know, first broccoli. You know, 2:7 in it, so we can go read about what broccoli does, but it doesn't. But the scientists have found out what it means, and it activates. So God's gonna start showing you what's important. And, and focusing on that and seeking first, you know, like seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all those things added to you, God's going to start showing you what things he wants you to seek first, you know, with the order, you know, so that
you can start getting everything lined up with the order that God has. Because we think this is important. Oh, my gosh, the world, and everybody says, this is important, this is important. Focus on this, focus on this. And the Lord says, just forget about that. Focus on what I say focus on, and you'll find all the other stuff start working itself out. We work on the fruit instead of the root. So God's going to show you what to focus on, Sal. I don't know exactly what all that means, but I threw in a lot of extra for you, so sorry. All right, Nicole, $8.88, building fund. Thank you for that. And I didn't really mean sorry. I'm not sorry I did it, but, you know, I just have to use examples. So thank you, Jesus. Jesus taught by parables, so that's kind of a parable. Sally just got a parable. Welcome to the parables, Sal. All right, Nicole, $8.88, building fund. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for Nicole, God. I thank you, Jesus, for this whole thing about activation. Nicole, God's going to show you about activation. I'm getting a lot of words about activation right now because there's a lot God says. If you'll activate from the kingdom perspective to find yourself it working for you, that's how my entering to the rest is that when you start activating things, it starts working for you. Because God has appointed it, like sending the word. You send the word, you sit back and relax. It's going. It's working. It's going this thing. You know, when he sends out his word, it didn't come back void. What does that mean? It starts working. You can rest on it. It's working. And God's showing you how to activate things. Like you talked about one of your teachers that you really like, the guy from Colorado, whatever his name is, and he has some great teachings. I mean, I listen to him myself once in a while. And he's really had a lot of great stuff. So, you know, as an example, to things, what activates things. So that when God has us activate things, once you activate your faith, you don't have to keep praying and, you know, oh God, you know, when you truly find the right prayer, it's finding the right prayer. Jesus said, when you pray, you pray amiss, you miss it. What does it mean? It doesn't go to work for you. It's just sitting there doing nothing. And you're thinking it's doing something. It's not. So God's showing you, Nicole, how to, what prayers to pray, what words to say, you know, because when you pray the right prayer, then it goes somewhere. You're sending the word, so to speak. In other words, it goes out to do a work, and then when it does work, it comes back to you. You don't have to work it all the time. But activating the right scriptures, the right information, that kind of thing is very important, because when you activate it as God has given it, then it goes to work for you. God's going to show you how to rest more, how to know more, and not just guess more. Like we all guess until we know, right? I guess until I know, but when I know, I'll tell you I know, right? So knowing is the stuff that to work for you, right? And then you can sit back and just enjoy life because it's going to work for you. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. There's a lot more to that, I think. But all right, Michael, $8 or $7. Thank you, Michael, for that. That's great. Great, great, great job on that. Fancy on me here. 777, huh? Oh, I like that, Michael. Good job on that. Really good job on that. Let me go back and get this. 777. Yeah, I like that. That's good. Pretty cool. All right, and then I got one more. Hang on a second here. Give me just a moment here, everybody. Hang on a second, Michael. Okay. Okay. Give me just a minute here. I'm working on a couple things. Okay, give me a second. Okay. All right, Michael, thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Michael, $7.77. Good job on that. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God, I thank you, Jesus, for blessing Michael, God, that you're going to make him an example of how someone just raised up from the ash heap into a blessing, and that somebody who honors you, somebody who puts you first, that puts first the kingdom of God, puts first the kingdom, the government of God, puts it first, because that government doesn't open the doors to demons and devils and compromise. I thank you, Jesus, that you teach Michael about the government of God and where he's going to fit into that and how where he belongs in that, and how that being a part of that and being connected to the government of heaven, literally here in the earth, is going to bring blessing to him and going to open up doors for him and going to cause him to walk in his, you know, walk like a saint, like a man of God in Jesus' name, that the people look and go, man, I wish I wouldn't have rejected him. Man, I wish I wouldn't have overlooked him, because look at what God's done with him. Just like the same thing with Peter, James, and John. They were just regular people. Some of them were a pain in the neck. It was like, and then all of a sudden they became, Jesus starts prophesying to them, you're going to be judges over the tribes of Israel. You know, oh my God, what? Us? I mean, I got fish. I still got fish smell on my clothes. You mean to do what? You know, I'm going to be a judge over the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel? No way, Jesus. That's just, you know, we're going to follow you. You don't have to prophesy that cool stuff to us. Jesus says, no, it's the truth. It's the truth. And he got glory out of doing this. One of God's favorite things to do, Michael, is to just bless and raise up. But it's about trusting him first and putting him first. If you have sin issues, compromise issues, you know, just keep going forward. Just keep believing God. And God will change that in you. He'll change your DNA. He'll help you. He'll make you stable. Amen? Where you don't have those cycles of failure. Peter had the same cycle of failure too. Peter had a cycle of failure. Walk on the water, oh my gosh, who'd ever thought he'd ever got his eye on the storm when he had Jesus right there with him? But he did, and he messed up. But did Jesus give up on him? Hey, you're worthless. No, he said, I'm going to use you. You're going to feed my sheep. Yeah, you're going to feed my sheep. Hallelujah, and it is going to be awesome. Okay. Cheryl, $5. Thank you, Cheryl, for that $5. Thank you, Jesus. I just ask you to bless Cheryl, God, to open her up to her imagination, Father, where she can begin to dream. Just saturate your imagination, Cheryl, because your imagination is a part of you that can dream beyond your circumstances. It's the part of you that God uses to dream beyond where you are. So sometimes, you know, living in what people call fantasy land, it is fantasy land unless it's God. If it's God, you're not living in fantasy land. You're speaking those things that are not as though you were. You're living in those places that you're going to be. You may not be there yet, but you start living them in your imagination. Why? Because God puts it in your imagination to dream big, like when Jesus told the disciples, the apostles, these fishermen, these tax collectors, these guys that couldn't even hardly, you know, do business all that great. Some of them, it's like, you know, oh my gosh, you're going to do what? You're going to be judges over the tribes of Israel? I can't even imagine that. I can't even judge my own family. What? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because God starts doing those kind of things. And, you know, starts, so Cheryl, God, you know, opening up in your imagination in your imagination, put the word of God in your imagination. Say, God, I put this scripture, this prophecy, these scriptures, you know, exceeding abundantly above, I'll get asked to do and imagine. I'm going to put that in my imagination, and I'm just going to let my imagination, it's sanctified, which is set apart to God. I'm going to let my imagination that was given to me by God become the thing that causes me to come out of my life. Even if it's not literally happening yet, I'm going to live it in my imagination. Hallelujah. That'll preach, man.
I've never heard that before, just like that. That's amazing. Speaking of those things that are not as though they were, just think about this. Living your imagination in the world that's not as though it was. Woo! My God, that's powerful, man. Dear Jesus. My goodness. Oh, I got offended at Sean because he said something I didn't like. Get over it, man. Give it to God. I'm not saying just swallow it. I'm saying move on. Let God give you some information, man. Yeah, let God give you some information. You know, information is everything. Information is what gets in your imagination. Information in your imagination. Get information in your imagination. Imagine this. Imagine that. Imagine the word of the Lord coming to pass. Imagine this and imagine that. Imagine the word of God coming to pass. Oh, yeah. I need to take that and go with it. My Lord and my God. Hallelujah. Jesus, are y'all hearing this stuff tonight? I go, oh, my God, I'm like getting caught up into the glory realm. I'm not already doing anything. I'm just sitting here, revelating. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. Makes me want to shout. Y'all getting some of this? This is shouting material. Dream. Your dreams, speak those things. Okay, speak those things that are not as though they were. You know, in your imagination is where you do that. You start getting the word of God in a sanctified, set apart imagination from God, and you start living it out in your imagination, even though you know you're not there yet, because you're speaking those things. You're living that thing that is, even though it's not yet, but it's going to be if it's a word from God. That's awesome, man. Y'all hearing that? I don't know. I maybe I'm just a little kid in a candy store. I just love this stuff. It's just amazing. No, I can't help it. I'm just I'm turning into a real fanatic. I am. I'm loving it. All right. Shalanda, $10. God bless you, Shalanda. Yeah, join in. I see you joining in. I see you like, hey, sometimes you feel like you're on the outside of things, the outside of whatever. It's like, yeah, I'm kind of here, but I'm on the outside, you know, like the 77 disciples, you know, there were 77 disciples. And then he had the 12. It's like you're moving from the 12, from the 77 to the 12 or something. You know what I'm saying? It's like God moving. Like, I feel like I sense something about you feeling like you're a part of, like all of a sudden now I feel like I'm a part. I don't know what a part of what a part of, but it's something good. I know that. Like, I feel like I'm not a part of this. I'm like, I'm always on the outside. I'm there, but I'm on the outside. Now I see God. What I saw you was like you joining in, like you're a part of it. And before you didn't feel like you were a part of it, whatever that is. I don't know what that is, but it's something good. That's something to do with the kingdom of God. And when you do that, then you start giving your life to it. Why? Because now you can fit in. Now you feel like you are, even though you already fit in anyway, in God's eyes, but you didn't feel like you fit in yourself. So it's like I see it fitting in. Like, it may be too high class for you, you thought, maybe too something too for you, whatever it is, you think it's too high for you, you know, because, okay, I don't belong there, I don't fit there, but I'd like to be. It's really cool, really awesome, really nice. I would like to be a part of that. And all of a sudden, boom, you're engrafted in. Like, okay, Shalanda, she's engrafted in today by the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's what I saw. That's amazing. That is really amazing. Yeah. Cool. Very, very cool. All right. Angela Joy, $10. She said she had building fund. Had strange occurrences over the last days. My 10-foot patio umbrella lifted up out of a table and was on top of my roof, undamaged. Wow, that's amazing. And caught in a place where it could not move or damage anything. She sent me a picture of that. That is amazing, girl. That is amazing. Yeah. Where it could not move or damage anything between phone wires. Just found a dead bird in the bathroom, though, whatever that is. Oh, I got found a dead bird in the bathroom. Hang on a second. All right, cool. Very, very cool. Okay. All right, awesome, 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 awesome. Okay. Okay, we got people listening. Some person that I met at the printing place. I was printing out printing some things for some friends, so I could send it to them. And I met somebody from my old church I used to go to. Okay, so I'm going here. I got people that don't know how the system works, so they don't know what's going on. All right, Shalonda, did I just pray with Shalonda? I did. I'm praying over Angela Joy. Okay, Angela Joy, she's talking about her, the weird thing, but she sent me a text of that. It's pretty cool, pretty amazing, actually, how that that umbrella worked out from your table. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Anyway, so thank you, Jesus, for Angela Joy tonight, God, for that $10. Thank you for that building fund. And in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for an era of long and distinct period of history with a particular feature or characteristic. A system of chronologically dating from a particular noteworthy event. A major division of time that is a subdivision of an eon, whatever that is, and itself subdivided into periods. Okay, I'm not sure what that is. Like the Mesozoic era, the era. I don't know what that means exactly, but okay. All right, so I'm not sure what that means. It's like we're in a new era, and God's going to show you the era that we're in. It's like the ERA, like the period of history that we are in. There you go, Cooks. It's a long and distinct period of history with a particular feature of or characteristics. Okay, so an era. The death marked the end of an era. Okay, now here's an example. It says his death marked an end of the era, end of an era. That's an example that it gives. The dawn of the Christian era. Okay, here's another one. The dawn of a Christian era. So that makes sense. Okay, so this makes sense. I don't know if you were able to listen to the teaching tonight, the revelation tonight about judges and why we need judges and
how I've given words about judges. Now, Jesus gave word to his disciples about being judges over the tribes of Israel, you know, and, you know, it sounds so big and so, wow, like how can I be a judge over the tribes of Israel? But that's the word Jesus prophesied over him. And so so this era, I think the era thing, like the era of the Christian, the dawn of the Christian era. So there's obviously God's going to show you, and you're going to be a part of this era of the kingdom of God, the government of God. As we're preaching this message and preaching this message, somehow God has, you know, has you to be a very much to be a part of that. And like you're, you know, like I gave the word about in scripture about where Jesus told the disciples they were going to, you know, they were part of the era, of the new era. There's an era going to be, you know, he even spoke of specifically an era at a certain time that they were going to be judges. You know, like in other words, they were going to die, and later on when he came back or whatever, they were in that era, they were going to be, you know, judges and judge the tribes. So that's pretty cool. So something to do with era. Maybe God's going to show you the era that we're in, because he's showing me the era that we're in, and how you're a part of it, where you fit in, so you'll know your purpose. Because when you start finding that your purpose from God, you know, as far as ministry goes, then you get into his payment plan or his provision plan. Is, you know, provision is more than just money. It is anointing, it's purpose, it's zeal, it's energy, it's health, it's protection, it's, you know, free medical. I love the free medical from the government of God. Jesus healed all manner of sickness and diseases. Every person he touched got healed. Every person. So in the kingdom of heaven, the government of heaven, he was showing what the government of heaven was like. That's what the message that he said we should preach is, the kingdom of God, the government of God. What is that? Well, it's people walking around healing and delivering people for free. It's free medical, free miracles, free dental, free the whole thing, right? And so somebody got that right. They're just going to do it the wrong way. The Antichrist is going to try to do that and put us in bondage. But Jesus says, my government's going to. So there's something about the era of God that God wants to start opening your mind to, that to show that even the words I've given you about being like a judge and others, about judge, being a judge. Like, why give that word out there? What, telling Angela she's going to be a judge? That's cool. I didn't know what it meant, you know, but so we're talking about this. This is the era, like we're in a new era, entering into it or something, or right here, right there. And it puts a focus, Angela, on the things that God wants you to focus on in your prayer time and in your giving your life over to him. Like, God, you're making me a judge in the era of the kingdom of the government of God. Okay, show me what that looks like. Show me, how can I work that? How can I prepare the way for that? How can I develop that? How can I, you know, okay, well, Randy prophesied that to me. Was that you prophesying that to me? If it was, show me how to be a judge. Show me how to judge angels. Show me how to judge, you know, the world. Show me how to judge things with righteous judgment with the Holy Ghost. Also, I was inside the house praying and prophesying to the wind. Oh, were you? When the umbrella ended up on the house, he said I was in. She showed me, sent these pictures to me. I wish I had a camera where I could show this. That is really awesome. I was also inside the house praying and prophesying to the wind when the umbrella ended up on the house. That is so cool. I love it. That's so awesome. Really, really awesome. Yeah, I think God's trying to show us something with that. I don't know what he's trying to show about that exactly, but I think he's trying to show us something with that. And, you know, maybe we'll get an interpretation of that later, I'm not sure. But it's about authority, you know. It's about, we don't judge according to the flesh, right? In the natural, we mess it up. Job's friends judged him according to the flesh and had scripture to back it up, but it was still in the flesh, right? So God's showing us how to be righteous judges, and judges that move in the spirit and by God. And so being a part of that, yeah, I mean, that's really awesome. All right, Shannon, $10. Thank you, Shannon. And pray for his future family. You know, people say, well, what do we need to pray for, believe God for families for, and houses and homes when we're going to enter to the millennium? Well, what's the millennium going to be? The millennium is going to be an extension of everything God's given you
If he hadn't given it to you, the fire's going to burn it up, or the pressure, the tribulation, it'll burn it up. But when God, whatever God gives you, the house, the wife, the family, the children, you know, the business, the ministry, you think he's going to burn something up that he's given you? No way. So people got to, we got to teach this and give people an understanding of what's really going on, where we're headed and what's up, so we can think clearly. And every time somebody says, the Lord's coming back, I'm going, hallelujah, I'm going to, you know, add to my house and build onto my house and believe God that if he comes over, he can spend the night with us. Instead of like, oh, I got to forget about my house. No, whatever God's given to you, blessing you with, when it's God, then friend, you know what? It's going to make it through tribulation. It's going to make it through the fire. It's going to make it through everything. It will not be burned up. The only things of wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burned up. And those are things that are just of the flesh. A family, that's of the flesh, Randy. They're having a marriage, a family, children. It's of the flesh, really? I thought it was a part of the covenant. People don't think straight, man. We got to get our thinking right. So when we think about the coming of the Lord, we don't just say, oh, I got to stop everything I'm doing. We'll say, everything you're doing, if you got to stop everything you're doing, then everything you're doing is not God. Right? Is that what you're saying? Oh, I got to stop everything I'm doing. If Jesus comes back next week, I better stop everything I'm doing. Well, then everything you're doing, is of the flesh? I don't think so. I don't think that's the way we're supposed to think, friend. I think God's going to show us how to think clearly. I really do. All right. Gary and Mary, $18, building fund. Acts 2, I love this, the scripture they sent me. Seeing David, who was seeing what was to come, King David, spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah. God has raised this Jesus to life, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He is Lord and Messiah. Amen and amen. And we're going to talk about this pretty soon, about the resurrection, what the resurrection represents, or what it means, and what it literally, how we should be living it out. The resurrection is, in all the practicality, is the part of our life that, because the resurrection means, in Scripture, talks about just as if you never did them. It's where justification comes from, is through resurrection. And through resurrection, you enter into just as if I never sinned, just as if I never had bad blood, DNA issues, just as if I never, because when he sets you free from it and you resurrect into it, the resurrection seals what you got from God. That's what resurrection does. Resurrection, you get healed of a blood disease, you get resurrected into it, then you never go back to that. Because it's just as if you never did it. In other words, it's just like you never had that disease. You never had that sin. You never had that problem. That's what resurrection means. So thank you, Jesus, for Gary and Mary. I thank you, Lord, for showing them their part of how they fit into this government of God. And the picture of the temple being built in Jerusalem is a beautiful thing. It's a sign. It's a beautiful sign of what's about to happen. We don't need the temple personally, but you know what? I would love to go. I'm going to go visit it, see what they're doing, see how it's functioning. You know, I mean, I would love to see it. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be beautiful. And it's a sign of how God's setting up his government in the earth, even in Jerusalem, getting ready for Jesus to come back and rule and reign with his temple, with his stuff. Yeah. And so getting a perspective on that, it's like you guys, Gary, you are the perspective person, giving people a perspective on what it's really going to be like, what's really happening. And so instead of having this pie in the sky fantasy stuff, we have the realization of, okay, what does it mean? What does the temple mean for us? Interpreting Jewish culture and what God does with the Jews, which is, you know, God, when we translate that and interpret that into what's going on now. And I say that the temple being built in the middle of the temple is a direct manifestation of how God is building a temple in the earth for the government of God, which is what the temple represents. The government, that's where the laws were given to Moses, was in the temple. That when God spoke to Moses face-to-face, you know, and then in the temple, over and over and over again, he kept speaking to God, and God kept speaking to him, say, okay, this is what we do when somebody hurts somebody and their animal hurts another person. Here's what we do. And God just told him specifically, man, God was like down into the everyday things. Yeah, somebody's bull gores somebody and kills them, then he told him how to handle it. I mean, God told him that. They didn't just make that stuff up, friend. They didn't just say, let's get together and figure out what we're going to do about this. No, God was telling them that and telling Moses in the tabernacle that he built according to the pattern. It was a government, how to treat people, how to deal with people. We still live by that, most of it. Right. I mean, it's amazing. So I thank you, Jesus, for Gary and Mary got together to see their part as a male and a female, as a man and a woman, as the bride of Christ, and as the Jewish culture, and interpreting Jewish culture into, you know, like what I'm saying, the temple is a prophetic meaning of that, you know, the kingdom of God ruling in the earth before Jesus comes back, and then Jesus comes and just takes it, right? Yeah, it's like them building the temple and him coming back to rule in it, so to speak. You know, not the Antichrist, you're going to throw him out. So thank you, Jesus, for that, and bless him in that. In Jesus' name, give him the wisdom how to that way, you know, God's using you guys to bring the Jewish culture and the Gentile culture together as one, and revealing that wall has been broken down. And show why and how and all that kind of thing. All right, Chris, $21. Thank you, Lord, for Chris from Texas. Thank you, Jesus, for Chris. God, I thank you that you used my brother to be a provision for the government of God. You know, sometimes the government, governments connect with certain things like the steel industry. You know, and then the government makes contracts with the steel industry, and so to speak, because they know that, okay, they buy the best steel, right, because it's for the country. They get the best steel, they buy it from a particular company, maybe two or three companies, they get the best. And so somehow or another, God's going to have you connected to being like that, somehow or another, with the government of God, where God uses you. You know, on even into maybe the millennium. I don't know much about the millennium, but I know it's a continuation of what God's starting. So somehow or another, the government of God is going to connect to what you provide and use it for, you know, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God in the earth, the government of God. Somehow the government, like having a government contract. I don't even know what your dreams and thoughts are, but I don't even know what this means exactly, except having it like a contract with the government of God, and like that's how important, it's how good, and that's how important what you're going to be doing is going to be because God's going to bless it and cause it to be blessed so that you can be a provider. There's some people who are providers for the government of God, the kingdom of God. You know, and so like David was a huge provider for the Solomon's temple. You know, of course he was a king, but the government, you know, gets provision from certain people that do certain things that not many people do it the right way or whatever. I don't even know. I can't even comprehend what this could mean, but thank you, Jesus, for opening it up and help Chris to expand his mind, expand his thinking, God, and how you begin to build with him will not be torn down or burned up with fire. It's going to be when you build something that's of God, it's going to last through the millennium. It's going to last through the tribulation. It's going to last through all the troubles. The fire can't burn it up because it's of God. God protects what's his, and God's showing you how to build and keep everything, you know, in him and come from him, giving it to him when he like, you know, Abraham offered up Isaac and then gave Abraham got Isaac from God and then he offered up Isaac back to God. So that's the way the process God's going to show you how when you get something from him, offer it back to him, and when you do, he puts his blessing on it so that it can never pass away, so that you get sealed in resurrection form where it can never be done away with. Right? Because once God approves of something, even with Jesus, he died and was buried and rose again from the dead. Because you can't stop what's of God. Nothing can destroy it, not even death. So, you know, see what I'm saying? So God's showing you how to function in the kingdom of God so that whatever you have and do doesn't get burned up. Oh, we got messed up. We did that in the flesh. That's wood, hay, and stubble. You know, to show you how to do what's precious
the precious stones and the things that don't burn up in the fire. And God's showing you how to build from the kingdom of God perspective. Amen. And that way God will bless you. I mean, really, really bless you. So, yeah. Get used to thinking about that. I mean, amen, it's really, really important. All right, LaShun, $25. Thank you, LaShun. I don't know if you said building for them. I think you just said blessing. All right, thank you, and God bless you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for LaShun for the heart of the needs, being a person who meets the needs, and even doing things that meet people's emotional needs, like God showing you how to do true spiritual works, true spiritual teaching, true spiritual ministry that goes into their emotions. Like, women are more concerned about people's emotions. Thank God. Thank God for women. Because women think more from the emotional standpoint. In other words, they don't want to hurt your feelings. They want your feelings to be good. They want your feelings to be secure. They want your feelings to be happy. They want your feelings to be, you know, so God gave us feelings. So we can't say feelings are bad. Feelings are good. So God's showing you how to do things prophetically, spiritually, in the Word of God, where people's feelings get lined up with God's feelings. You know, when God's happy, they're happy. When God's sad, they're sad. You know, if you're sad when God's happy, it's like something's going on. Or you're happy when God's sad, it's like, you know, what's going on with that? God's showing you how to minister to people where they connect to God's feelings and his emotions, which he does have them. But he gave them to us. We know he has them because we have them, right? The thing is getting those things in order to where we feel what God feels. Oh, well, I'm just feeling like this. Well, you're not supposed to go by your feelings. Well, what kingdom are you talking about? I'm not talking about the kingdom of the flesh. I'm talking about the kingdom of the spirit. My body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. My mind's submitted to Christ. My feelings and emotions are very wrapped up into what Jesus is doing. What do you mean I can't go by my feelings? You know, so God wants to separate out. The reason people say you can't go by your feelings, Sean, is because they're talking about the feelings of the flesh. Oh, I don't feel like it today. We're not talking about that, right? We're not talking about it. If God's feelings like not doing it today, there may be a reason why God didn't want to do it today. That's what he's feeling, and you're feeling what he's feeling. I don't want to do this today. It may be God saying, hey, don't do this today. But when you're saying just in the flame, I don't want to go to work today. I'm going to stay home. And you lose your job. Or he's like, oh, you're run by your feelings. Well, if your feelings are in the flesh, yeah. So God's showing you how to bring people into the place where their feelings get lined up with God's feelings, and he does have them, and they are major, and they are amazing. All right. Okay, Marja. Hallelujah, Marja. Sister Marja. Thank you, Jesus. Let me check something here in just a moment, see if anybody else is giving here. Okay. Yes, I almost missed somebody here. Okay, you know, in a minute. Almost missed something there, thank God. Okay, we are talking to Marja. God bless you, Marja, in Jesus' name. I see I don't know what salary you get or who pays you or how you get your money, but I saw your salary. You're like God's, maybe it's God's salary. I'm not sure what salary it is, what money you get, but I saw you getting a raise. Either way, it's a raise from God, whether it's whatever you get your money from. I heard the word salary, so I'm using the word salary. So whatever your salary is, I don't even know how you get paid. Whatever your money comes from, your salary, what are you getting paid for? But God's wanting you to really, you know, I'm sure you do this already, knowing you, but at the same time, you know, knowing you in the spirit, of course. At the same time, you know, God wanting you to really focus on whatever your money comes from, you know, that you consider that as salary from God. And as you start considering that salary from God, then God is going to open you up to raising your salary, you know, bringing in money from whatever way, whatever direction. He may stop, you know, this particular part and start giving you a lot more from a different salary. From a different thing. So whatever, because I saw the word, heard the word salary. So God wanted to show you about your salary, that you dedicate your salary to God afresh and anew. I know, I'm sure you already do, but dedicate afresh to God.
because God's getting ready to increase and multiply and make sure your heart and your mind and the Spirit of God are all thinking the same way about what you get. It's not just from man. It may come through a man. Most stuff comes through a man. Just like my food comes through a tree. But who created that tree? God did, right? God created the tree. The food I eat came from him, even though all my tree provided this. No, God did, right? So you see what I'm saying? So God's showing you how to know that the tree you get your salary from, the fruit, and how that comes from God and is created by God, and give him the glory for that at a whole other level, a whole other place, and then watch God increase your salary from him. Because when God gives you salary, as you're serving him in whatever way, not about five-fold ministry stuff so much as it is, you know, just doing what he says. You know, your ministry is doing what he says every day. That's what people don't realize. Ministry is doing what God tells you to do every day. What do I do today, Jesus, when I get up? When I drink coffee or drink whatever you drink, get up in the morning, what do you want me to think about? What do you want me to talk about? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to think today, God? Margaret, think about every time, every nickel you get, my salary for me. And I'm gonna increase your salary because you give me the glory, you give me the credit because of the salary that you get from me, the provision. I'm going to look at the word salary real quick. I know what salary means, but this case has got a really cool meaning that I don't know about. Okay. Okay. Okay, let's see what salary means, and then I'm going to go here. A fixed regular payment, typically paid on a monthly or biweekly basis, but often expressed as an annual sum made by an employer to an employee, especially a professional or white-collar worker. He received a salary of $29,000. Okay, so it's something to do with that. Regular payments, you know, whatever it is. I see God increasing your regular payments, your monthly, whatever, your weekly, your biweekly, whatever you get. Because I saw the word salary written in my mind. And in Jesus' name, increase that, multiply that, God. And it's just not your salary in the natural realm, although I know that's what that means. It's also your salary in the spiritual realm. Now, the provision God gives you, your emotional payments. You know, like he pays you, you know, emotionally, gives you emotional strength to go through something because you're giving him the glory and you trust him. You're giving him the credit for things. So he gives you strength. He gives you wisdom. He gives that. That's God's paying you. That's God's salary. You know, that's the treasures of heaven. And God's showing you about his salary, the way he pays and what he does. Amen. So in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Okay. Let's go here to our next one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Indrika. Well, we thank you for Indrika for that $30. $30 and then $20. $20 for EDSW Auto Sales, LLC. And then $30 for the family. So thank you, Jesus, for $5 for God. We thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you, Lord. We just bless Tyreek. God, we bless that everything he touches now, let him see. Let him just feel and know and think, like, when I touch something, it's going to be blessed. When I touch something, I'm going to figure out how to do this. When I touch something, something good is going to happen. Just like with Joseph. Because Joseph was blessed seed. Not Joseph, Jacob. Jacob was blessed seed. When his father blessed him, he's going to supposed to bless Esau, but he blessed him instead. And he got the blessing, and so everything Jacob touched after that was blessed. So I think God's saying, you know, to maybe recommit to blessing Tyreek to the Lord and commit him like Jacob's father, Isaac spoke the blessing over him. Remember, he made the venison for him and said he was his brother when he wasn't. And he got the blessing. Once that blessing was done, so everything Jacob touched after that was blessed. I mean, his father-in-law messed him around big time because he saw the blessing of God on him. He tried to keep him around as long as he could because everything Jacob touched was blessed. So I thank you, Jesus, for showing Indrika and Chris how to bless Tyreek, how to speak over him. And as a prophet, I speak over him the same way. You're blessed and highly favored in Jesus' name and knowing that
knowing that you're blessed, it helps to start giving God the glory, because if you know you're blessed, that what you touch, what you can figure it out, you can work it out, you can make it better, you can do things better, you can do things greater. You start seeing that, knowing that, then you kind of start trusting it more, right? If you don't see it, you don't trust it as much. When you see it, you go, wow, there it is. I trust in that. In Jesus' name. And Torre, thank you, Lord, for Torre, the fighter for Torre. Thank you, Jesus, for Father, for Torre. I thank you for his ability to drive things, to work things, to develop things. In Jesus' name, the developing spirit anointing in him to develop things. Father, be able to create things, develop things that are created and not created, even the things that are already created, that he can take those things and develop them. He's going to be able to develop packages, develop, put things together and develop things in Jesus' name, and make things work and make things prosper in Jesus' name. I decree that over him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Right. Sometimes when you package something together correctly and name it the right name, people go, man, I got to have that. You know, I got to have that. We're showing him how to do that, Jesus. Unlock that in Torre in Jesus' name. If we speak over Chris tonight, God, we speak to the Father in Chris at $10. Thank you for that, $10, Chris. We speak to the Father in you, to the Father God in you, to the Father, the heart, the Father heart, Father's heart inside you, and God showing you how fathers work, how fathers give children information, good information, and let them know that I'm with you, and let them work it out themselves. We don't have to, watch over every little thing they do, but to watch over them, but to give them information, and then we'll give information. Then we, like Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase, and let God give the increase to those that you father. And, plant water. Give information. Let them know you're with them. Plant water. Give information. Let them know you're with them. That's planting and watering. And then let God give the increase and watch God do it. And God will, because as you learn to do that, Chris, God's going to increase you more than you think. Because when we try to increase it ourselves, that's why they said Paul planted, Paulus watered. God gave the increase. Because some people don't think about it, but they think, they're trying to get the increase going. When we don't, we plant water, let God give the increase. And as you see God give the increase and you start functioning this, as God shows you how to do it, you're going to see increase happen to you in amazing ways. In business, with the Father in you, all of it. In Jesus' name. And over in Drinka, we thank you, Lord, for Drinka, for that $10 in Drinka. Thank you. I see the spirit of praise just coming on you, girl. I see the spirit of praise and thankfulness, like, thank God, look what's happening. Thank God, look what's happening. Thank God, people are growing up. Thank God, people are changing. Thank God, God is moving. Thank God, Jesus' name. The goodness of God is bringing a change in those around me. The goodness of God. God wants you, as you start thinking, maybe you're doing this, about the goodness of God bringing repentance. Repentance is just simply changing. Doesn't mean they're doing something really bad. It means they can change the way they do things and change it. They repent from it. They turn. They could go doing it like this or doing it like this. What they were doing before might not have been bad, but now they're doing it better. They've changed their mind. And so I thank you, Lord, from going from glory to glory with Andrika in Jesus' name, and see the people around her and herself going from glory to glory and just laughing and giggling and enjoying watching God increase everything, the increase, the multiplication. And stand still and see the Lord, Andrika. See him increase you. See him multiply you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And over $20 over ESW Auto Sales, LLC. We thank you, Lord, for blessing that and letting their lives, as they seek first the kingdom of God, you add to them blessing in Jesus' name. Let them find a pack of people, like packs of people, will come in and buy things in packs, packages, in packs, like 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or whatever vehicles, something like that. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for the increase in multiplication, Father. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Connecting with people that want to buy things, like not just buy one, but want to buy 2 or 3 or 10. vehicles for things. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open up the way to do that. All right, Noel, building fund, $50. Thank you, Noel. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for Noel. And, Lord, we thank you, Father, for increasing her and multiplying her. God, I thank you for building. I see God building a new life for you, a new life. It's like God's building a new life. I see you receiving a new life. You know, a new life is a new life. It's not just a new, not just one thing or two things, but it is a life. Like God is building a life. And when God builds something, as we've talked about, it doesn't get burned up. It can't be destroyed. It's safe. It's protected. It's kept by God because it's been built by God. It's like, it's not wood, hay, and stubble. It's stones, precious things of God. And God's showing you, Noel, your heart longs for the precious things of God. What are the precious things? They're the things that God's doing. They're the things that God's saying. They're the things like the words of God being precious to you. Like when I'm thinking all of a sudden I thought of when they built the temple and Ezra, I think, started reading the word and all the people of God heard the word of God for the first time in a long time. And they wept. They wept. They just wept over the word of God. Like, man, they've heard the word of God preached, talked many times, you know, but now they're rebuilding the temple. When they read the word, it was something was going on. There was something being built. And when they read the word, all of a sudden the people just wept over how precious that it was. And I see God restoring to you the precious things, the things that have been lost to be restored because God's showing you that he's watching over you, that things are precious, the things that are precious to him, the things that are of the stones and the beautiful stones and the things that are not getting burned up. Those things are precious, and God, that's why he said those things not be burned up, because they're precious to God. They're precious to him. Wood, hay, and stubble. It's not gold, silver, the stones. Those are precious things, so God watches over them, and they cannot be burned up in the fire. So thank you, Jesus, for restoring the precious blood of Jesus, the precious love of God, the precious listening to the word of God, and like, man, that's just precious. Like weeping over things. I said, what am I weeping over? It's just like I've heard this many times. I don't know. All of a sudden, something just became precious to me, like precious, like this is precious. And being able to identify what is precious is and beautiful in the eyes of God. Oh, my God, that's amazing. That is amazing. Amazing. That is amazing. Amazing. That is amazing. Awesome, awesome. I'll take some of that. Wow. All right. Regina from California, $50, building fund and the triple A's. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you for what putting God first. And I know you already put God first, but it's like God's showing you how to, you know, put things first with your children. You know, like in the Bible, it talks about that when – like after Egypt, when they came out of Egypt and they did the firstborn, when God killed all the firstborn in Egypt, you know, when they came out of Egypt, every firstborn animal and firstborn boy or child was set apart and was, you know, it was the first. So I see God really helping you understand the first, what the first means, how to put God first with your children. You know, how to, you know, so the blessing of God, because when they dealt with the first realm, well, what God, seek ye first the kingdom of God, is right. So what's first with the kingdom of God, how we deal with people, how we think about them, how we pray for them. Like with one child, we'll pray one thing, with another child, we'll pray another thing, because every child is different. And, the battery's about to go here. Hang on a second. And God's showing you how to, you know, with each child, how to put them, you know, into the first realm with God. In other words, you know, offer them to God. I don't even know what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying. I think you understand what I'm saying. So putting God first in their lives and how to do that. And, you know, like sometimes you have to tell a child something they don't want to hear, you know, lovingly and kindly, but because you're putting God first and put that child first before offering up to God first, then you're going to tell them what they need to hear regardless. right? So because you're putting God's, you know, you put God first, then you give your child and the things that you deal with, you put in there the things in order. You'll do what God says, even if they might not like it at first. You know, God's showing you how to do that, because that's going to do something with them for some reason. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, bless Regina. God, give her wisdom. I just see God giving you wisdom on how to judge between each child, the difference between each child, the difference between each situation, the difference between each circumstance. You may have the same problem going on with one thing as another, but you deal with them completely differently. I see God really showing you how to do that. And for some reason, I kept seeing Solomon when Solomon, when they brought the baby, the two mothers, they brought the baby, said one said it was her baby, the other said her baby. And he took the sword, you know, and they're going to chop it in half. And the real mother said, no, give it to her. But I see God giving you some wisdom about something like that, of how to, you know, he found the answer by doing something strategic, and that was going to cut the baby in half. He didn't want to cut the baby in half, but he was like, let's just bring, okay, swordman, come over here, give one half to her and half to her. That'll take care of it. Of course, the baby would have been dead, right? All they would have got was another dead baby. But he knew that the real mother, the wisdom God gave him was the real mother would say, yeah, that's me. God's going to help you do things, Regina, to find the real mother or to find the real thing, who this really belongs to, what this is really for, right? That's the whole purpose of what Solomon was doing, was finding out what really belongs to who. Yeah, and God's showing you what really belongs to who. What a word. That's crazy. That is amazing. What really belongs to who? Wow. My God, my Lord and my God. When you think about that for a minute, Regina, that's like, man, with information, not having a clue where they're going to end up. And sometimes it's just really, really sweet Jesus stuff. Sweet Jesus. My sweet Jesus. Our sweet Jesus. He's our sweet Jesus. All right. All right, Regina, I see sweet Jesus coming to you. All right, Carmen. Okay, maybe the sweet Jesus thing was for you too, because I keep getting this for you. Sweet Jesus. Things becoming sweet. Like, you know, the lemon thing, like where he put the sweet in it and make it sweet. Like God has given you an anointing and a wisdom and an ability. You know, it's like something he's doing with you and around you and for you. He's putting the sweet into that's been bitter or been not able to swallow it or not able to drink it, even though it's good for you. It's like, you know, it's not, you know, lemon's good for you, but so things that learning how to turn a lemon into lemonade, that really represents turning a bad thing into a good thing, right? That's really what that represents. So lemons aren't bad, but that's what that's talking about, bitter. You know, so sweet. So God's showing you how to turn bitter things into sweet things, and there's a real anointing on that on you to do that for others. But I see God doing it for you, like through you, like turning what was about to be a bitter situation and just all of a sudden making it sweet. Like all of a sudden you're like, oh man, I can drink that, and I can drink that now. Now that what Satan meant for evil, God means it for good. Or what was about to turn bitter and ugly, now all of a sudden that same stuff is sweet. Now I can drink it and relax and go, man, I can handle this bitterness because it ain't bitter no more. God made it sweet. God turned what Satan meant for evil and turned it into good. Now you're drinking of the sweetness of the Lord. And that sweetness turns everything that, you know, has been bitter or tough or, you know, difficult into something sweet, where you're like going, man, that's some awesome taste and struggles I'm going through. And give me some more of that lemonade, that battle, that thing. Because it's not bitter, it's not, you know, it's like it becomes sweet Jesus stuff, you know, because God is literally taking what Satan meant for evil and turning it out for good, literally, literal. I love those literal words, literally. Oh, y'all just have to know how much I enjoy this. You would, you know, yeah, I can't pay myself for this because I enjoy it too much. I mean, literally, I just have so much fun. How could I ever pay myself? I don't know, man. It's just a blast. Oh, I feel guilty if I pay myself because I'm just having fun. All right, you don't get paid for having fun, do you? I don't know. God pays me one way or the other, right? And I love it. Okay, I'm just checking there, making sure nothing else there. All right, so here we go. Nikki and Charles, $100. Nikki and Charles, $100. Thank you, Nikki and Charles, for that. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for their life, God. I thank you for this whole realm of restoration through the blood of the Lamb. Restoration, and the Bible says that through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So this whole thing about the blood of the Lamb that we've talked about with you, the garment of blood, the red garment, all that, the blood, washing their garments in blood, you know, it's like that's part of it. And then because that's going to happen, now listen to this, man. This is amazing. Just God, that's just so sweet, Jesus. Though they washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So it's like the blood of the Lamb thing brings such testimonies that the testimonies start creating this realm of victory and overcoming and the power of God and the glory of God to explode, because with the blood and the DNA thing and all this thing about the blood is doing, it is bringing such testimony that they overcame, that people, the spirit of overcoming, the spirit of victory coming in because they overcame by the blood. What the blood does, the DNA and all that change and all that, they bring by the word of the testimonies that come for what God does. Hallelujah! Jesus, Shikapachola, tree in Jesus. I declare and decree victory. Defeat, brokenness, shame, all that. Off. No more shame. No more. Victory. The name of Jesus over Charles and Nick, in the name of Jesus, I declare victory. That spirit of defeat is already defeated. Jesus did it on the cross through the blood of the Lamb. The defeat is defeated and brings victory with a testimony that overcomes in Jesus' name. They overcame him, Satan, by the blood. Oh, and all the revelations about the blood and brought forth these testimonies and by the word of their testimony. I go on these trips, man. I tell you, I go on these trips. It's amazing. I go on these little trips. Sometimes they kind of start out slow, and then all of a sudden I'm going 100 miles an hour. I go, ooh, I'm barely hanging on. Like, dear Jesus, where's this going? You know, sometimes it just takes off 100 miles an hour. I don't understand. But that's amazing, man. That's amazing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Yeah, bringing me the victory from Christ alone, Christ alone. I don't know if y'all enjoy this as much as I do. I just get so blessed. Like I said, I feel guilty paying myself. This is just so much fun. Seriously. Serious. Angela L., $100, building fund. Thank you. Pray for Karn Auto. Hallelujah. Okay, Carmen. Yes, we do. Thank you, Carmen. I love it, man. I do, too. I just, you know, you can't make this stuff up. He was, he's just making this stuff up. I know it might look like it, man, but I ain't smart enough to make this stuff up. I have to say, that's why God chose me, because either he ain't smart enough to make this stuff up. He can make this stuff up. Woo! Jesus! Kisapawaka! I love it. Lord, pray for Angela L. from the Carolinas, North Carolina. $100 building fund. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Lenham and Jesus. Vadaka. Oh, yeah. Exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever. I keep hearing the word exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask. Above all you can ask. God's moving you into the above all you can even ask.
Like, I see things happening with you. Like, that's just way above what I was asking. Yeah, I know. That's the way I like to do things. Above all you've ever even think of, you can even imagine. Above all you can ever ask or even imagine or pray for or think of. That's what it says, right? Go read it yourself. You know what it says already. Hallelujah. It's exceeding abundantly above all you can ever ask or think or even imagine. And I kept getting the word above all. I think above all what? Above all, he is above all you can ask or think or imagine. Hallelujah, because God wants to expand the universe in your soul, girl. He wants to expand the universe so you can, like, look out beyond, not just look what's on earth, but expand the universe. Like, see, God's universe is still being created. It's so massive. It's so big. And we get our eyes sometimes on just what's right in front of us. And Lord says, I'm opening up the expansion of the glory of God in you. And the realms of glory in you, where you can see the realms of glory, got the massive galaxies of glory, the massive the expanse of heaven, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, kishaka for Karn Auto, open up in Jesus' name, hallelujah, and make people want to eat it, make people want to drink it. If people want to just be, what can I do to be a part of that? What can I do to bless, bring exceeding abundantly above all she can ask or think or even imagine? And believe me, we're talking about imagination earlier with somebody. I was telling somebody, I remember what it was now, but you let God get into your imagination, and let God, and I'm going to say the same word to you, Angela. It's like God is saying, sometimes the only place I can do big things, the universal things, or way beyond just the earth realm and the sun realm, the moon realm. It's way beyond that. To be able to look beyond and see way beyond what God's doing is in your imagination. So God Almighty is going to open up your imagination and sanctify, set apart, fill your imagination with the glories of heaven. That's the only place your imagination, Angela, is the only place that you can have the expansions of heaven. You can see them in your imagination. Because that's why God made your imagination like that, so you can see the expanse of anything. Your imagination can go places that every man fears to go. Hallelujah. Let it flow. Start living there. Somebody, all you do is live in your imagination. Yeah, but my imagination is full of the Word of God, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the prophetic words from God. Yeah, and Paul himself told Timothy, he said, just think on those things. Think on those things that you got in the prophetic realm, the prophecies you've gotten. You heard me talk about it. 1 Timothy 3:16, I think it's worth that, or 3:3, whatever it is. That he said, dwell on those things. Think of this. Why? Because you get them in your imagination, and you start imagining. Don't be afraid to let your imagination just really let it come to pass in your imagination. When you wake up the next morning, you go, oh, I'm still in this world. Yeah, but not for long. Not for long. Then have some place you can speak those things that are not, or think or dream those things that are not as though they were. Your imagination is about the only place you can do that. I just got a revelation on that tonight, y'all. My God, that's just like, wachakahule. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, Jeannie, building fund, 150. Thank you, Jeannie, for that. Precious Jeannie, precious Jeannie, precious, precious Jeannie. God said, like the Lord, I see you feeling like you're precious. You know you're precious to God. We all talk about it, but we don't normally feel that precious to God. I see something breaking in you, something broken in you that God breaks off of you, and you start feeling so precious. You're just going to walk up to people and say, man, I'm just so precious to Jesus. Like, kind of like Joseph did. Joseph's brothers, I'm so precious to Jesus. Y'all going to bow down to me. You know, it's like you're gonna get this thing where, just like Joseph. Joseph really believed. I mean, here's the thing, Jeannie. Joseph really believed he was precious to Jesus and precious to God. He really believed it because his daddy nurtured it in him. And when he said, so I see you coming to this place, my God, in the name of Jesus, where you just know I'm precious. I'm precious. I'm precious. I'm precious. You feel it. You sense it. You know it. You think it. You know. You live in it. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I am precious. I don't care what I look like, don't look like, how old I am, how young I am, whether I got it all together or not. I'm precious to Jesus. Precious to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm precious to Jesus. Glory to God. And that's a zone that I want to live in. I'm going to claim that one for myself. My Lord and my God, because when you start feeling what's really true, I mean, if it was a fantasy, Jeannie, when Jesus prophesied over these fishermen who smell like fish half the time, and tax collectors and whatever, God knows, whatever else they did, and they were just regular nobody people, and he's telling them, oh, thus saith the Lord thy God, my brothers, you shall be the judges over the house of Israel, over the 12 tribes of Israel. They're going like, what? 12 tribes? That's like being head of the government or something. Jesus, what's up with that? And you know what? You know what? After a while, they started believing it. Jesus told them so many times that they finally started actually believing it, just like Joseph actually believed it. That's why he told his brothers. He wasn't telling his brothers to be cocky and rocky. No, he was telling them because he really believed it. He knew it. He knew it. You got to know you're precious, Jeannie. God's going to show you you're precious to him, that you're not just going to think it and hope it and wonder it. You're going to know I am precious to Jesus. Hallelujah. Be careful what you do with me. I'm precious to Jesus. He loves me. I'm adored by him. He adores me. Woo! My God, I'm getting like, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm loving it. I'm loving it for a minute of it. Dear Jesus. Woo! My Lord and my God. Chiche caparo. Fantico. Fantico, what is that? I don't know what Fantico is. Don't ask me. This God shows me. Woo! Dear Jesus, dear Jesus, dear Jesus. Yeah. Macapareo. Shinge Kupara. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, hang on a second here. I'm getting caught up tonight. My Lord and my God, man. I just feel like I'm flying high. I used to fly high in my dreams, and I'd get scared because I go so fast. Literally, in a dream, I'd be like, I got to slow down. Literally, I just like going, what am I going to do if I have to turn or go, you know. Seriously, it's like, man, go really fast in my dreams, flying. Okay, what am I doing here? Focus on what you're doing. Okay. Man, Jeannie, what I saw in the Holy Ghost on that was like, my God, that was awesome. My Lord Jesus and my God, Jesus and my Father and my Holy Spirit, all of you. You know I love Jesus. My favorite is Jesus. You know, I love the Holy Spirit and I love the Father, but I'm definitely attached to Jesus. I am. Of course, I love the Father. Of course, and you love Jesus, you love the Father. He's just the human expression of God. Maybe that's why I love him so much. Anyway, so, God, I mean, I'm going to take that, Jeannie. I don't know if you're going to take that or not. I'm sure you will, but, oh, my God, I'm going like, dear God, I want to be precious to you. I can tell myself that, and I know I am to a certain degree, but the more I believe it, the more I receive it, the more I walk in it. But when you start believing it and literally believing it and start receiving it and believing more and more and more how precious we are to him, you start walking in that precious. Everything becomes precious. Precious, precious, precious. He's precious. People are precious. Things of God are precious. Everything God does physically in the physical realm is precious. You honor and respect him. Everything's precious to you. My God, I mean, how can we beat that? Dear God, how can we beat that? You can't beat that. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, $220. And then $167.66. And then $26. I hope I didn't miss any prayer requests or any of those. But if I did, please let me know later or now or whatever. thank you, Jesus, Lord, for Terrence and Tanisha. Hallelujah. TNT. TNT. I mean, literally. You know, the thing that we're going to need TNT for, dynamite, is because we're having to, you know, like when you go, like when they go gold hunting, when they go hunting for gold,
you know, sometimes they, you know, they, if they know what they're doing, they blast out the rock and get to the gold. You know, instead of digging with chisels, you know, you got to know when, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. You got to know when to use dynamite and know when to use the hammer and a chisel. You know, you don't use a hammer and chisel until you get down to the gold. The gold is, you need to dig it out. Like I see this gold mine, like I see a gold mine, and like you're, you know, drilling and drilling holes for the dynamite, the TNT, and blasting away the rock, because it takes dynamite, you know, to blast away the rock. And so when you become an expert and know how to do it, then you just, you know, light some dynamite, blast the rock out of the way, the hard things, the really hard things, and God putting in your hands dynamite, spiritual dynamite from God, where when it's explosive, and it blows out the rock and gets right to the gold. You know, make it truth. I don't know how they do it exactly. I've never heard this before, so it's brand new to me. I've seen them do it on TV. So I know a little bit. I know from watching that, I know how they do it a little bit. So they blast and they blast and they blast, and you have to, you know, blast the rock, the explosive, you know, powerful powder from God. Powder from God is explosive TNT, it's dynamite. And God's made that together with y'all where that dynamite works with both of you. You know, one of you sees one part of it, the other person sees the other part of it. And those two parts have to come together. The two become one. And so if we can ever get this, you know, I pray this for every married couple, every person, every human, all of us, that if we can learn that when we marry the gift of God that he's given us, the man or the woman, then you start realizing how precious, there's the word precious, they are, and how important it is what they see and what they know, what they hear. You don't have to hear what they're hearing. You should. You might hear something completely different, but God's showing you how to combine it together to make it one, the two becoming one. This information that Tanisha has is completely different from what Terrence has, but you start seeing how they fit together. That's the biggest gift with people, is having their spirit of revelation to see how they fit together to create dynamite, to create power. You know, the ingredients in something, you need the ingredients, like the ingredients in the oil that they made for the olive oil, that made the oil for the temple. It was a very special holy oil, and there was different ingredients in it. So it wasn't just one ingredient, like, I got all the anointing, I'm the man, I got it all together, I'm the man, you submit to me. And the woman's saying, no, I got it all, you submit to me. You know, that's like Sarah and Abraham, you know, when Sarah got Abraham to, you know, mess up. I mean, he agreed to it, so he was just as guilty as her, but she came up with the idea. And then all of a sudden, when they had a baby from that child, all of a sudden God goes, and she goes, I don't want that boy around me anymore. And Abraham goes, what do you mean get rid of her? I don't want to get rid of her. That's my child. And he goes to God and complains, and God says, listen to her. She's So that's the thing about learning to listen to each other, you know. And God was speaking through her, because she felt things and sensed things and knew things that he never knew. He couldn't even comprehend getting rid of him, getting rid of Ishmael. That's my boy. He didn't see it as a bad mistake. He didn't see it like it was, you know. He was going to be a wild donkey, this boy was. And Sarah knew it, and Abraham couldn't grasp it. You know, it's the same thing as other times. When Abraham grasped things that Sarah couldn't grasp, and so God's showing you guys how to unite together in that information God gives you, how to flow it together. And when it does, it's powerful, man. It's going to break up rocks and get to the gold and make you rich with God's blessings. As you were saying, to be rich with the love of God, the wisdom of God. The greatest riches you guys are going to know you have is each other and what's in each other, Christ in each, Christ in, and seeing that even though the information may be different, it's a different kind of thing. But, you know, like Sarah said, you know, get rid of that boy. And she knew something that sad to say, that our brother, spiritual father, didn't know. So that's why listening to each other, because a woman sees things completely different things from a man, but a man does it. So if one's not submitting to the other, the woman says, I don't really need a man, I don't really need a man, I don't need a man, I don't need a man, I got God, I don't need a man. But when God brings you a man, you know, he brings you a man to see things and get those information to come together and give wisdom on how to handle things. Yeah, women will see things men will never see. And men will see things that women will never see. And even women need to understand that. Sometimes you don't see
You know, I know how women are sometimes, just like men. Like I can be, I see it all. I see everything. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're not supposed to see everything. You see in part, you know in part. Listen to the part of your husband. Listen to the part of your wife, husbands. It's important. Yeah, very important. When those two things come together, it's dynamite. It's TNT. T's in, T into T. T, Terrence into Tanisha, and Tanisha into Terrence. Called covenant, connection, information. Information is power, man. When I give information to people in the market realm, and I say the market's going to do this and that and the other, that's the most power. That's some money making. That's some like big stuff. That's some big stuff. Big, big stuff going on. Information. Information is, yeah, when it's from God, it is like riches to the hilt. All right, John, $6. Thank you, John, for the $6. Pray for my father, Steve. Also give the Julie hug for me. Okay. All right. Please pray for my father. Yes, Lord Jesus, we pray for Steve. That's my middle name, Steve. Stephen. Actually, Stephen. Lord, I pray for Steve tonight, God. I thank you, Father, for I speak grace and power into Stephen, to Steve, and God, that he will awaken to, sometimes we just think that when we have a revelation about something about life, maybe we've learned some things in life, and we just think that we got it, we understand it all, and then one day we wake up and we realize, man, I only saw a little bitty piece of that. I missed all that other stuff and missed out on life. I could have had life a much, much richer, much more powerful. So I thank you, Lord, for opening Steve's eyes so that he can see, you know, that he doesn't see everything. He doesn't know everything about things. And I'm sure he already knows it to a certain degree, but open his eyes spiritually to have the spiritual awakening of knowing that he doesn't know everything, and that sometimes the way we think and look at things, it could be wrong or it could be just partially correct, partially right. You only see a little bitty part, that he will see the full part of how his son is and how his, you know, how to deal with his son and his family and all those things, God. In Jesus' name, open that up for him, God, and secure him a spot in the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, where he will know that he's born again, saved, filling with the love of Jesus. In Jesus' name, open up and activate his heart, God, for his heart will come alive and be healthy. His heart will be whole. His heart will be made rich. Yes, in Jesus' name, that he can be able to think things in a rich manner, very generous manner. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. Bless John and his wife, God. Melissa, we thank you, Lord, for blessing them, for blessing John and Melissa. In Jesus' name, bless them, God. Open up their hearts, God, to be able to unite together. And, you know, that when we serve each other, then we respect and honor each other in a way that that brings honor and glory to our relationships. Show them the glory realm and the honor realm, God, how to honor each other and glory in each other. In Jesus' name, more and more and more. Just show them more how to do that, God. I'm sure they already do. Show them how to honor and respect one another. Men need respect. They need honor. Women need love, and men really need honor. And show them how to do that, God, because when you do that, you're feeding the person the basic elements of what they need. Like, it's like having a lot of food but no water. Feed us everything, but if we don't have water, we're going to die, right? There's a lot of times in our relationships we get food, lots of food, but no water. Show them how to feed water to each other, how to drink the water from each other. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. They honor each other, honor their we don't have to believe everything they say, but we honor them. Show them how to be honor them, God. And then raise them up, God. Raise up Jonathan, God, with honor, and he'll be a man who's honored and looked at and loved and respected. Give him the crown of honor. Jesus' name, hallelujah, and bless your money too. Amen, amen. All right. Okay. Okay.
So I'm still here. I'm here on Blog Talks. I don't know if you guys can hear that or not because I didn't call out. But I'm going to call it a night tonight. It's been awesome and great. Thank you guys for being with us. I'm going to call it a night. God bless everybody. It's 12:30. All right. Good night. Love you. God bless you. See you later. Bye-bye.